much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Where are you? You're in our dressing room of the Jungle Hut, Passaic, New Jersey, and we're on next. Let's go. Come on.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
I am not here to roast Bob Saget. I'm here to John Stamos.
Well, you got hit a couple times throwing the ball. Does it seem like it's going to be a long season? Does that, you know, this amount of games, does it make you nervous?
What?
I know.
Are you retarded too?
Yes.
Hi, retard friends. Hi, fellow retard.
Difference between you and me is you have retard strength.
Yeah, and I throw the ball good.
And you're in the NFL.
Yes.
Yeah, what do I
you
ask?
You just sound funny.
Yeah, that's true.
And now.
I don't want to go into your man cave.
That is the inside of your vagina.
Our feature presentation.
Ah, good times. I miss that boy. I miss that boy and his interview technique.
Yeah, that was fun times.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday. We got some lines open if you want to get in. First thing on Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. Here's the toll-free number. If you can hear the show, you can be on the show at 1-800-520-1067. Pick up the phone right now. Give us a call and get yourself a prize for being on the program. Hey, Ralph Garman.
He doesn't have as many Super Bowl rings as Tom Brady, but I think Peyton Manning might be the greatest quarterback ever to play.
I didn't see personality wise. Yeah, you add the total night. Package.
He might be the all-American hero.
Yeah.
What happened last night?
Just madness. Just the Colts had the ball for I think about a total of 14 minutes last night, and they won the game 27-23. And Manning was scoring with like 12 seconds. 32 seconds, he scored another touchdown, and then there was about 3 minutes left in the game. They were down by 4 points, 3 points, and he just marched him down the field. Touchdown, boom, wins the game.
It was the lowest time of possession for a winning team ever in a regular season NFL
wow.
game.
Wow, that's just great time management right there. That's great work of the clock, huh?
Well, it's just talent. I mean, he's got a core of young receivers, no real names anymore, and he just is unbelievable.
And
Mike's
not
right,
retarded.
Just personality-wise, and just he seems like the All-American hero. He is just the total package when it comes to quarterbacks. I'm so impressed.
The only thing I know about last night's Monday Night Football game with the Colts is when Yasmeen tweeted that she had to put the game on hold to knock one out with the king.
Oh. Are you serious?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
But she's a huge Indianapolis fan.
She is.
But she loves her man so much that she was willing to hit pause in order to take care of Dave and then go back to the game.
Why hit pause? And you can knock it out during a huddle.
Well,
with the king, you could do it during a timeout, a TV timeout.
During the coin toss, she could have knocked it out with the king.
Oh, I pick tails.
That's what he would have said. Yasmeen was afraid of.
Yeah.
But anyway,
great game last night. I don't know if you saw it. Great game.
I wanted to see it.
Obviously not too much. Not that much you wanted to see it.
Hear my whole thing. We have a very busy show today.
That's right. That's right, Tracy Jordan.
A very busy show, and I wanted to read a little bit of the Craig Ferguson book, which is outstanding, by the way. Man, is he an entertaining guy with great stories and a very interesting life. I wanted to read some of that.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing another bit today on celebrity tweets that I needed to do some research on. I did want to watch Mad Men, which I did last night. And by the way, how come that show's so good?
I said it Monday morning. I thought it was the best episode ever. Blew me away.
Wow.
Insane.
Unbelievable. There are people in this country who don't watch Mad Men, by the way, and they should be deported.
A lot of people.
Should you be required to leave America? Don't you hate Jesus if you're not watching Mad Men at this point?
I would just put him down. Why, why bother having to get him out of the country? Mass graves. Just mass Mad Men graves. That's what I would start. But that's why they don't elect me president.
Look, and I wanted to watch that. I watched the president on David Letterman last night.
That's right,
What a charming guy, by the way.
Yes.
Whether you like him or not, he seems like a fun dude. He seems like the kind of guy you'd want to have a beer with.
The president of the country?
Mm-hmm.
President of the United States.
Obama we're talking about.
The president of the Yankees or Coca-Cola.
What's Mike talking about?
I don't know.
The president of the United States was on the whole day, on the whole show for Letterman?
David Letterman, yes.
Wow. Where were you yesterday?
Huh?
How did you not know about this?
Just seems odd.
Are you back on the smack?
About it several times.
We were talking about it all day yesterday.
I know. I was aware.
It's a big deal. Well, then what are you talking about, Mike?
Just seems crazy. I mean, like, the guest of a late-night talk show for the entirety of the talk show is Barack Obama.
Dude's got some message he wants to get out to the peeps, turns out.
He needs some support. He needs some popular support if he's going to try to accomplish things that he wants to get done. And you know what? Nobody watches Meet the Freaking Press. That's not how you reach the people. That's how you reach Washington. Right. If you want to reach the people, you got to go to the shows where the people are.
Good point.
Is he the first president to do this?
For a whole show, I think, right?
No, Ralph, you were saying yesterday that Dave had Mr. Clinton on at one point, too.
But was he active?
No, this was the first time. The second time a seated president has ever been on a talk show. It was Obama, but he was on the Leno show, I think, the first time. But it was the first time a seated president had ever been on a talk show. Yeah.
Dave tried to talk the president into getting those death panels going. He thought that was the best idea he'd ever heard.
And I thought it was weird that Obama was also House's roommate on the season opener of House. He played his roommate in the rehab. And I thought, wow, this guy's really pushing the TV time.
He's getting around. Yeah. I love that. Well, I haven't had a chance to see the House yet.
I didn't have time.
Too much going on.
You suck, Ralph, on so many levels.
Ralph did not oversell the House.
It's like a movie. It's amazing. It's like one of the best movies you've ever seen this year. It's ridiculous.
Well, looking forward to that. Yeah. All right, let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. It's Kevin and Bean's Tuesday edition of What It Do, Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
You get two great prizes in one today. A pair of tickets to the ASA Freestyle Motocross coming up on Saturday, October the 3rd. Plus, we're going to send you to the fair, passes to the midnight screening of Paranormal Activity.
Ooh.
That's at the Arclight this Thursday night. It's in theaters October 30th. All of that for you just for getting on the air. Why don't we start with, we'll start with Matt on line one since we were talking about Dr. House. Hey, Matt, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What's up, Matt?
And good morning, Lisa Bay.
Good morning.
For those of you who did not see House last night, it was absolutely amazing episode. It was the season premiere. So Dr. Gregory House wakes up in a hospital that he ultimately put himself in, apparently, to get off his addiction to Vicodin.
Yes.
Once he finally is off his addiction to Vicodin, he's ready to leave the hospital that he...
We don't need a recap of the whole show. We don't need to spoil it for people, but what particular that you liked about it?
What's your take on it?
It was amazing that we finally, for the first time, saw an absolute personality change, which I'm curious to see how the whole season's going to go now, because the entire show is based on, you know, his basic angst and you know, burning bridges.
Yeah, the fact that he's a dick to everybody is the backbone of that show.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, you know, we're faced with this new house, you know, with new options and new personality. I think it's going to make for an amazing show this season.
It is kind of bold for a TV show that's been on the air for, successfully on the air for 4 or 5 years, now season 6, to make such character changes. I mean, for the main character to go through such an alteration, to go through such a development. I think it will be interesting. I think you're right.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Matt. We appreciate it. He's still hitting it with Cuddy, though, right?
He never was. That was an hallucination he was having during one
That's
of his
nice.
Vicodin binges.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know.
Interesting.
So watch it, Bean. Watch what you're saying, will you? For God's sake.
Let's try Steven. Steven's on line 3, calling about something else on the TV, I think, last night. Hey, Steven, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What to do?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
What it do?
What it do, baby boo. So, what I like to say is just about how Obama has to go on every single TV show possible to try and put out his health care plan. And he keeps getting shut down by the American public. And he just has to keep on going out and forcing it and forcing it and forcing it. Hasn't he finally realized that the American public does not want this health care plan that he keeps on proposing?
You're right. I mean, why give people insurance, man? Health insurance is a bad thing. I can't believe
I'm
going to
drop
it already.
My health insurance. In fact,
you should,
because I don't want it. How about you, Steven?
Well, health insurance. Only 10 million Americans don't have health insurance. Most of those people happen to be some of the people that don't even pay into the taxes as it is. So if we're going to propose all this spending, we're already in a deficit.
I'm with you, dude. Let them die. I mean, seriously, when they get sick, just let them die. I think you're absolutely right.
And
I don't know
people,
why the president can't see that message.
Death panels.
The people that I know that don't have health insurance don't want it.
currently we actually do help out people. If they're going to walk into a hospital, it's actually illegal for us to turn them down and say we can't give them health care.
Yeah.
It already comes out of our taxpayer dollars. I know that you guys actually pay quite a bit of money in taxes because you guys do a good job on the radio and you have good ratings, so they're going to pay you well.
That emergency care, though, costs enormously more than it would if you provided health insurance for people.
I'm not against having a health care reform to where we can actually start going through and saying, hey, guys, we need to start lowering down the price on drugs and all that stuff. But if we take away health care, you know, health care that comes out of private users,
no
then
one
all of a sudden
has
all of our,
ever
all of our...
proposed that. That has never been proposed.
You got to look up the word option. You got to look up the word option in public option.
Oh, public option, absolutely. But it's going to be coming out of our taxpayer dollars for people
Stephen,
that can go
how old are you, Stephen?
I'm 22 years old.
You're too young to run for president. But you ought to hang on to those good ideas in 13 years and go for it. All right, dude?
Absolutely. You'll see me on there.
Go teabaggers.
Right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
And by teabaggers, I mean, never mind.
You don't mean the political teabaggers.
Not at all.
No. All right, let's talk about today's, I don't think I'm overselling when I say it's an all-star program today, because I did mention that Craig Ferguson, who's the host of the Late Late
Show. Craig Ferguson! He'll be coming in with his bagpipes and his haggis.
No, I don't think so. He's an American now.
What?
Not that he doesn't love his Scottish roots.
But he talks
actually,
so funny.
He's an American on purpose, and that's the name of his new book. We'll talk to Mr. Ferguson 1 hour from right now. Also, Dr. Drew, who, let's face it, one day is going to be he's going to be the top doctor in this country. Some administration is going to tap him for Surgeon General one day. I really think that's going to happen. But so far, he's just wasting his time on Twitter conferences, and that's what he's going to be on.
I think this one may bring down his chances of being Surgeon General.
And he just doesn't do enough press. He doesn't get his name out there enough for him to be really recognized by the nation to be, you know, Surgeon General.
That's true. Why doesn't he ever go on TV?
A guy like Dr. Drew. You think people would care what he has to say?
Adam Sessler is going to be on the program today. He, of course, is our friend who is the host and editor-in-chief of X-Play on G4. It's a huge, huge day because today is the release of Halo.
All right, easy with that.
And he'll have a complete review along with Order of War and a couple of other games that are out today. We don't know how to pronounce his name, but we've got an expert from Entertainment Weekly on today to talk about the new fall season. Yeah, we're a little late. Half the shows are back already, but there are still plenty to still debut. And speaking of new TV, how about the Cleveland show, ladies and gentlemen? How about
that?
Our own Ralph Garman, I understand, will be heard on the Cleveland show. It's a spinoff of Fox's The Family Guy, and it debuts this Sunday night at 8:30. We've got the co-creator and executive producer of the Cleveland show, Mike Henry, is going to be on the show later today. Did I miss anything? Is that it?
Well, just that Mike also does the voice of Cleveland, too, so we'll be talking to Cleveland today as well.
Talking to Cleveland. So all of that, and Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. We'll do that right after this quick break. 106.7 K-Rock. It's the world-famous K-Rock. It is 5:52. I'm warning you, Ralph, that Miss Cleo's on some sort of a rampage today. I don't know what's going on with her. Someone peed in her Wheaties, but man, is she on fire. She's very, very bossy for a woman. I'll tell you that.
She's kind of cranky today.
Yeah, very, very cranky. So I just warn you, because I know you share an office with the beautiful Miss Cleo, so just be careful, man. She's going to take you down today.
With the size of her boobs, I never hear anything she says anyway. It doesn't matter. I just stare at him, and she goes, bah, 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 bah. It's like Charlie Brown's school teacher. I'm like, yeah, okay, nipples.
that's a good way to handle it. All right, it's Tuesday. Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day. What the heck's going on?
I think it's time to hassle the Hoff.
It's time to hassle the Hoff.
Hoff. David Hasselhoff has explained the whole thing to us.
Oh,
remember
good.
That trip he took Sunday afternoon to the hospital because his daughter, who's 17 years old, found out that he was boozing it up and he had another case of alcohol poisoning. And so she called her mom, his ex-wife, and said, oh, dad's loaded again. He's going to die. And they sent an ambulance over and took him to the hospital. It wasn't alcohol at all.
Really?
Hoff has set us all straight. He said what it was a bad reaction to some ear infection medicine he was taking.
Apparently, and that's a 911 call that needs to be made?
Apparently, the Hoff said that he's taking Antivert, which is an ear infection medication, and he's already on Antabuse. I don't know if you know, you're familiar with Antabuse. I'm sure Psycho Mike is familiar with Antabuse. But it's what you take when you're an alcoholic. And if you drink alcohol, the combination of the alcohol and the antabuse makes you violently ill, and you're incapable of getting a load on because you throw it up immediately. And so he said he's already on that, so he couldn't be drinking. And it's a combination of the ear infection medication and the antabuse, which caused him to have a lack of equilibrium. Ah. And they couldn't reach the family doctor.
Hmm.
So naturally, his daughter went into a panic and called mom and took him to the hospital because she's only 17. She's incapable of telling the difference between someone who's having equilibrium issues and someone who is ass-face drunk.
You sound skeptical.
Not me. I believe the Hoff in all things.
So tell me you're going to stop.
And I don't drink or take drugs.
Yes, all of those things you just heard.
Well done.
Hoff said that... he's fine now, and he's looking forward to doing his jury duty this week. Oh, sweet Jesus. Imagine if you're the guy who's up for trial when the Hoff takes the stand and on in your jury box.
I hope he doesn't get confused and think it's like America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
Whether he just likes the guy's performance or not.
You got a big career coming up. I think you're what this trial is all about.
Hey, I've heard of that, what'd you call it? The
Antabuse.
I've heard of that before. If that stuff is effective, why isn't it more widely given to alcoholics? I mean, you would because think that that does, would cut down on the problem tremendously.
It does nothing for the addiction.
Desire.
The addiction or the cravings. And a lot of alcoholics will drink through the Antabuse. They will power down the booze despite how violently ill it makes them just in order to get it into their system.
Wow.
So really you have to treat the illness, not the symptom. So yeah, it's bad stuff. Can I get some cameras over here, Psycho Mike? Oh, there we go. Thank you so much. Appreciate
that. Yes, sir. Sorry about that.
Looks like the nuptials of Khloe Kardashian and her new boyfriend Lamar Odom could take place as soon as this weekend.
Have they dated a month?
A month.
TMZ.com says they want to tie the knot this Sunday.
That's bad news, man.
They want to get married, and they want to have a honeymoon before he heads back to work with the L.A. Lakers of the NBA.
Mike
brought up a great season on October 7th, so Lamar's going to get back to work soon. So they want to get married.
Isn't that crazy? Like Mike said, it's not already hard enough to get tickets to Lakers games. Now they're going to give up 30 seats or whatever Chloe's going to need.
Yeah, not to mention the concession stands.
Oh,
they're going to have to close it down at, by halftime.
Yeah,
they'll be out of nachos.
Yeah,
they're going to be out of soft pretzels, all the good stuff,
and all the spread back in the locker room for the guys to keep their energy up. You know, that's
gone.
That's gone too. Yeah.
Jessica Simpson apparently not doing well since the presumed death of Daisy, her beloved Maltipoo. People magazine says since Daisy was attacked by a coyote and drug into the brush, she will not leave her house. She's completely heartbroken, and friends fear the worst regarding the tailspin that she's gone into since the loss of her dog.
Is her fear that the coyote will come for her next?
Oh, we can only hope. Listen... why do celebrities act like nothing has ever happened to anyone except them?
Right.
Losing a dog is a horrible thing, don't get me wrong. But...
you work through it.
Yeah. You get up, you dab your eyes, you go to work, you do what people do. You move on.
Yeah.
But for some reason, celebrities it always hits them harder. I wonder why that is. I think it's because they live in a more rarefied atmosphere where they don't have to deal with real world.
Yeah, people indulge them.
Yeah. Speaking of the Kardashians, as
Glendale.
We were just moments ago, Kourtney Kardashian is apparently pregnant and hormonal.
Yeah.
Star Magazine said, no, not in a good way.
Oh, sorry.
Star Magazine says that she wants to make sure that her fiancé, Scott Disick, who has cheated on her before, will not stray with her now that she is with Puppy.
You know, a baby conceived out of wedlock is still a bastard.
That's right. So what she's done is made him delete all the phone numbers in his cell phones that were from girls. Well, that'll work. That'll keep him from ever having sex with anyone else. Because you can't have sex with someone if you don't call him on a cell phone.
Exactly.
It's like dating Ashley from Entourage or something. Like, back off.
Yeah.
Now, but what if some of those females in his phone bank were for work reasons?
Doesn't matter. Delete. D. Mother effing leet. Tonight on television... you may want to check out the new NCIS Los Angeles makes its debut this evening. Oh, LL Cool J and Chris O'Donnell.
That's a match made in heaven.
The star pairing we've all been waiting for. Robin from the bad Batman and Robin movies and LL Cool J. Oh, sweet.
Who I think, by the way, is very likable on camera.
LL?
Yeah, I do.
I think he does a good job as well, but still, it's NCIS, Los Angeles.
Right. NCIS.
Yeah, NCIS. And The Good Wife with Juliana Margulies makes its
debut. I'm intrigued by that, by the way. That's a little soapy for me, for my usual taste, but the commercials I've seen looks like that's real good.
And Chris Noth plays her husband, in it, who I like him a lot, too. So you got that going for you. Also, new Biggest Loser. That's kicked off.
Yeah.
The Dancing with the Stars second episode is also tonight.
I'm going to be on that next season. I decided to sit out. I think I can gain more weight, so it'll be more impressive when I'm on next year as a contestant.
I thought you meant Dancing with the Stars for a moment.
Biggest Loser. Biggest Loser.
How great would it be to see Bean Dancing with the Stars?
Amazing.
Trying to do the tango and the paso doble.
And he has reached the point where he is a high enough celebrity. He actually could make this list of celebrities.
Well, they've lowered the bar so much.
That's
right.
What Mike is saying. Given this cast, you actually could be on
the
show.
There are some people that you are way more famous than.
You know he would take like three steps and just snap his leg like a twig, like a dried twig. It would just shatter due to the lack of exercise he gets. Awesome. You're like Theismann, like Joe Theismann.
Yeah, but Joe Theismann's leg, but not from an alignment crushing it.
No, just from putting weight on it.
A cha-cha-cha. Yeah, just shatters open.
Just from getting off the couch.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Joan Jett. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, of course. Her successful solo career started her career with the Runaways, which was the first all-girl rock and roll band, which really got their break on this very radio station. One of our DJs, Rodney Bingenheimer, played the Runaways back in the day, and there's soon to be a major motion picture made about those girls with Dakota Fanning as Cherry, and Joan Jett played by Patchouli.
Kristen Stewart.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Joan Jett's
kiss, bang, bang, right, bang, Rodney. Bang.
Joan Jett's 51 years old today. Scott Baio.
Yeah!
Chachi from Happy Days turns 48. Today, actress and TV show host Bonnie Hunt is 45 years old. Jonathan Taylor Thomas from Home Improvement is 28. And L.A. Dodgers legend Tommy Lasorda,
there
of course, was the skipper of the Dodgers for many, many years. And, of course, a close personal friend with Jane Biondi. So we want to wish Tommy Lasorda a happy 82nd birthday. Say hi to Jane Biondi. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Speaking of the Muse, by the way, you got to go to kevinandbean.com and check out the Muse video of them pranking an Italian television show. They were on one of those programs, Lisa, where you have to lip sync, where you don't perform live. And the Italian hosts of the show don't know any different, but the guys in Muse all switched places. So the lead singer went back behind the drums, and then the bass player was on the guitar, and then the drummer was on the bass. And it's just hilarious because they lip sync very poorly. And clearly they hated it, but clearly it's a very funny joke for people who are fans of Muse because they see what they're doing.
That's awesome.
You can check out the video at the website. All right. It's Kevin and Bean Show, Big Show. Craig Ferguson joining us in a few minutes. We're going to be looking for your phone calls here at 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for Kevin and Bean listeners who have gotten tattoos of celebrities, either images or names. And this has come up recently a couple different times. We have a listener who sent us a photo when we had Will Ferrell in a few weeks ago, sent us a photo of a huge Will Ferrell tattoo on her arm.
Interesting choice.
It is. Look, I get that you might love Will Ferrell. I get that you're a big fan of his movies. But how does it cross over into the part where you want to see his face every single day on your body?
I do not understand that. I mean, isn't that the kind of adulation where you cry if you see them, like you would just almost die? How do you get that way with Will Ferrell? I don't see
it. He has made some great movies, but every time, like A Land of the Lost or something comes out, then you got to wear long sleeve shirts again for a while. You know, I mean, I would think it would rise and fall on what's going on with that celebrity, and you have to also, I mean, let's face it, Eddie Murphy was a bit of a bigger star as Will Ferrell was, but imagine the people who got Eddie Murphy tattoos. What happened to them when his career died and when he wasn't funny? I mean, what do you got to look 10 years down the road if you're talking about a tattoo, I would think.
Excellent point.
We had a Kevin and Bean listener in a while ago who got a Megan Fox tattoo. Now, look, no one loves Megan Fox more than I do. But where's she going to be in 2 years? How are you going to feel about her in 2 years when another hotter 21-year-old comes up that you're now obsessed with?
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I mean, in 15 years, no one may recognize that tattoo. It's quite possible. What about the one who got Rodney?
Yes, a Rodney Bingenheimer, legendary DJ.
Although I look at that as a classic.
Right.
Don't you? I mean, there are some things that are forever.
Yes, and you guys don't have a lot of tattoos. I don't know if you have any, but some people... it is all about comedy, and they look at the skin on their body with a little more a liberal view mm-hmm. than some other people. I mean, I have friends that will get a tattoo as a joke. I mean, they'll do it just for entertainment's sake, you know. And but to get, say, like you said, Megan Fox, there's really no comedy there.
Funny. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one thing if you want to get a Hasselhoff tattoo, because that's funny today and it's funny in 50 years.
Right.
Is it still funny to have a Will Ferrell tattoo? That's going to be the question.
And Mike's Ozzy tattoo.
Right.
Again, a classic.
That's timeless.
Yeah,
timeless.
Totally.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Ozzy.
You know, and I'll be the first to admit, though, I still worry that sometimes Ozzy's going to make some career choices now in his later days
really?
That might make me want to rethink that. You know what I'm saying? Like every
what
time-
can he do now? This is any worse than anything he's done his whole life.
Well, why don't you ask the people who have the O.J. Simpson tattoos that they thought were a great idea right. when they were Buffalo Bills
you
fans,
know how many
Lisa?
USC fans from the 1960s probably had, you know, O.J.'s number or O.J.'s, you know, like a silhouette of his Heisman?
I never thought about that.
Well, when we got the listener with the Megan Fox tattoo done in the studio, there was only one person we thought of to do the job because he is unofficially the tattoo artist of the Kevin DeBead Show. We want to welcome Chris Stenzel. Yes, that's his real name. Back to the show. He is the owner of White Lotus Tattoo. WhiteLotusTattoo.net is the website. Chris, how are you, man? Thanks for coming on again.
I'm doing pretty good.
Where's the shop for folks who have not been down to visit you yet?
The shop's in Laguna Hills in South Orange County, just off the Alicia Parkway exit.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
You guys do amazing work, and I know that this has to be a topic that you guys have talked about in the shop before, which is that
sure.
there are people who just fall hard for a celebrity, and they can't think of anything else other than, I got to get a tattoo. I mean, the Megan Fox one that you came down and did,
yeah.
had you seen one of those before, or have you done another Megan Fox since?
No, we've never done a Megan Fox before. Most people usually get legends, you know, people that have already passed, the Johnny Cashes, the Elvis Presleys, you know,
right.
or maybe even Charlie Chaplin or the Three Stooges, something old and classic and legendary. You don't see a lot of people getting, like, modern celebrities, although I do hope that people start getting Patrick Swayze tattoos now that he's unfortunately passed.
That would be quite a tribute. Somebody who just loves Roadhouse and wants to take it to the next level.
Yeah,
Dalton.
Right? Just a huge Dalton with Fame Don't Hurt underneath.
That's
amazing.
Pretty strong.
That'd be cool.
I can see the wheels turning in Psycho Mike's head right
yep.
now as you say that, by the way. That is pretty strong. So, yeah, you're not going to go wrong with Johnny Cash. You're not going to go wrong with Elvis because, let's face it, their legend is made.
For that. But if you get, like, Michael Jackson on you, you might, you know, I don't know. Not so good.
Now,
yeah.
Now, I was just guessing when I was throwing out examples of like Eddie Murphy and O.J. Simpson and people like that who maybe have taken a turn, you know, for the worse career-wise or in the public standing. Have you had any examples where you've had some people who have come in who have insisted on somebody who maybe didn't hold up years down the road?
No, usually the people that don't hold up years down the road are like the portraits of wives or, you know, girlfriends' names and stuff like that. But, I mean, most people don't really come in and get like, you know, second string actors, you know, tattooed on them. The Will Ferrell stuff, I could see that. I could see how people worship him or maybe a character. I've seen Ron Burgundy tattoos before. And
really?
Actual characters that Will Ferrell has played, but... Yeah, you mostly just see the classics around where I'm at. But there's people that have so many tattoos on their body that they don't care putting, you know, Eddie Murphy on their leg or, you know, Bill Hader or Chris Farley in his Chippendales outfit, you know.
have you seen that one, Chris?
I have, actually. Yeah.
Chris Farley and the Chippendales.
Once again, he's a legend. He's passed, he's a legend, you know, there's nothing he's going to, you know, do anymore to ruin his future that people aren't going to remember him in a good light, you know.
Right, exactly. We're going to take your telephone calls, by the way. If you have a celebrity tattoo, if you have a picture or a name of a celebrity, I'm really curious to see because you know there have to be hardcore fans out. Well, I guess bands, I mean, we won't make an exception on that because I guess a lot of people go with bands. I mean, I could see somebody really being into No Doubt or really being into AFI or something like that. You must see
right.
those sometimes.
Sure. I've done a couple of professional wrestler tattoos also, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man. So, yeah, people just get whatever.
Are we in an age here in the 21st century, Chris, where it is a little easier now to get tattoos effectively removed, and that may be playing a part in people who now don't have to think, hey, this is permanent forever and ever?
Yeah, I think some people...
may rush into tattoos and with the under the, you know, the idea that they could eventually get it laser removed. But it is a, it's still costly. It's not nearly as much as it used to be, and it's extremely painful. It feels like somebody dripping hot bacon grease on you while you're getting them removed. So I don't think people really take that into consideration when they're getting, you know, a girlfriend's name that they've been with for a month.
Right.
Or something
and,
like that.
And your advice would be go ahead and plan on it being permanent if you're going to get it done.
Yeah, I'll usually consult people before they do something that I think might be a bad choice.
Right. All right. Well, that's interesting. 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear from you if you have a celebrity tattoo, a name or an image or something like that. That is, that's interesting stuff, what you got going on down there. The website is whitelotustattoo.net. And
yep.
White Lotus Tattoo is the place. Chris Denzel, you are awesome, man. I'm sorry we haven't had an occasion for you to come down and do some more ink, but.
Not a problem. I'll be more than happy to next time you guys do.
Okay.
You guys have been great.
All right, man. Talk to you soon. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back right after this. Speaking of Nirvana, by the way, I'd be willing to bet there's a ton of Kurt Cobain tattoos out there in the audience.
Oh, yeah.
Fred Durst has got one.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, Fred Durst has got Elvis and Kurt Cobain. Big old busts of him on the back of his
back. Well, it's kind of hard to argue with those two.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. Talking about celebrity tattoos, tattoos that you got of a celebrity. 1-800-520-1067. TV's Craig Ferguson minutes away. Dr. Drew next hour. And Adam Sessler will be here next hour as well to tell us whether it's worth dropping $60 on the new Halo. Let's start with Denise on line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. What celebrity's name or face do you have tattooed on your body and why? Hey, Denise, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hi, I have Gerard Way on my left shoulder blade, and I just was so in love with My Chemical Romance and felt that they changed my life and everything, so I got his face tattooed on me.
And how do we feel about that now?
I don't regret it.
I hear regret in your voice. I have to be honest.
I do.
Well, here's the thing.
You do.
Look, My Chemical Romance is a great band. I love them. But I'd be willing to bet, Denise, that you felt the same way about Third Eye Blind 10 years ago. You go out and get a tattoo and things change, right?
No, because he's still my screensaver on all my computers and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay. Can somebody order Mexican?
I'm still hearing regret.
To it. Yeah.
So 10 years from now, when he's fat and playing Vegas, you still think you'll, with his new act Gerard and the Ways, are you still going to be into it?
Hopefully.
Okay. All right.
So my shoulder blade's like sagging. That's going to look kind of weird. But
yeah. Good times. Thank you for the call. Let's try David. David is on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Celebrity tattoos is the topic. Hey, David, what's going on?
Hi, with Kevin. How's Doug?
Hi, David.
Hi, Baby View.
Okay, so what you got?
I got Hulk Hogan on my back. It's a big, huge portrait of him, like behind a cage with the American flag hanging down. I have Rock, the Goldberg, and Undertaker on my legs.
Jeez. Wow. So you're just a hardcore wrestling fan. Now, let me ask you about, like, Hulk Hogan's a great example. I mean, he's a cartoon, but the last couple of years, you know, with the messy divorce with the wife, and then his son killed that guy, and he's dating a woman that looks just like his daughter. Does any of that, like, do you see that and go, man, I'm just not as crazy about the Hulkster as I used to be?
No, because he's helped me out in my personal life, just, you know, focusing on wrestling, going through drug court programs and stuff like that. That's just my tribute to him on, you know, for
right.
helping
so he,
me get so, focused.
So he made a significant enough contribution to you in your life that you feel like no matter what happens from this point on, you'll always be indebted to him, and this is your way of showing it.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you, man. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's try Jamie. He's on line 1 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jamie, what celebrity tattoo do you have and why?
I got Cindy Crawford on my inside left arm.
Oh, I swear to God, I thought you were going to say thigh. I thought the end of that sentence was going to be thigh.
No.
Why Cindy Crawford? Beautiful, beautiful woman, but why did you like her so much you wanted to get her tattooed on you?
Oh, she just looks as good as she did, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
Where'd you get the tattoo?
I got the tattoo in Studio City.
No, when?
I went about 5-6 years ago.
So not even in her prime?
No.
Interesting.
It just depicted her beauty, and I get a lot of compliments on it. So,
do you have a girlfriend or a wife?
No.
Mm. Okay.
Shocking.
I was wondering what their reaction would be to you having another woman on your body like that.
No, there's. I get great compliments from everyone.
Okay.
You know.
Is it? Now I have to ask this. If you're traveling and you don't happen to have any pictures of Miss Crawford handy, is that just like a permanent spank?
Mike.
I'm thinking. I'm just saying. You got the permanent.
What
spank
is portable
bang.
Porn? Is that
exactly.
what you're asking?
You can just roll up your sleeve and then you can look in the mirror. You got. You know. You got your fodder for the for some private time, right?
You don't
there
have. You don't have to answer that, Jamie.
I'm not going to.
Okay, thank you.
I would email it to you, but I'm at work right now. So
All right.
I don't have a picture, so.
Appreciate the call. Hey, getting some emails from Robin, who has a tattoo of the band Silverchair. Remember when they were popular all those years ago? Here's an email. I had a friend who had Slash sign his arm, but then he had an amateur friend tattoo it. It ended up saying Slosh. We can all agree that that was a dumb idea. All right. Let's try, let's try GW on line three. I don't know if it's that GW, but let's find out. Hey, George Walker, how are you? Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
What's your tattoo?
I have Hannibal Lecter on my right forearm.
Interesting.
It was my very, very first tattoo, and it's from the DVD cover from the second movie from Hannibal.
Now, we were talking about real celebrities. We weren't actually talking about movie icons, but that is an interesting choice. Now, have you had a chance to regret that yet, or are you still holding strong with it?
Oh, no, definitely not. I love Anthony Hopkins as an actor, and I love the character of Hannibal Lecter that he played, and you know that's how strongly I felt about the character and the actor that I wanted it to be my first tattoo on my arm.
Yeah, you would creep me out.
That would be a little off-putting.
I gotta be honest.
I get nothing but compliments on it.
But do you get women?
Well, I'm married. Of course I get women.
Oh, okay.
How about
All
that?
Right.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. Let's do one more, and let's make it Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
Thank you, on line five. Eric, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, here's an interesting topic. Tell everybody who your tattoo is.
It's Dimebag Darrell from Pantera.
Yeah!
All right, R.I.P. Dimebag Darrell. Now, he's a guy who the metalheads know, but don't you run into every single place you go, people go, who's that? They can't recognize him for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part, but you got the hardcore fans that are that love Pantera, and they know who it is.
And also, Eric, don't you run? You run in certain circles of mostly people who would recognize Dimebag, right?
Yeah, for the most part, I do. You know, it was Dimebag Darrell was just a big influence on me. You know, growing up, I just loved Cowboys from Hell. You know, Cemetery Gates, all that good stuff.
Sure, can't beat it. Now, I don't want to start any kind of a feud here, and I feel a little awkward admitting this on the air, but I've got a tattoo of the guy that shot Dimebag Darrell to death. How about that?
Hi, K-Rock, Kevin and Bean. Kevin and Bean. I just want to say that I don't know. You guys rock, and I love you guys. Not in a gay way.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 106.7 KROQ at 640. That's why you don't call the Afro line when you're drunk, by the way, right there.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we're waiting to find out. There may be some miscommunication here. The great Craig Ferguson, TV's Craig Ferguson, we are expecting to hear from any second here, promoting his new book in stores today called American on Purpose. Very entertaining read. We don't know yet if we're going to have him or not.
Okay.
We're waiting to hear from producer Alex. This is the way this show runs, by the way, as you find out with about a minute left in the song that you may not have your guest. But in the meantime, while we're waiting for Mr. Ferguson, I do hope we have him. Psycho Mike got the most amazing email. Now, let me explain to folks who maybe haven't been listening to the program very much or tune in frequently enough to have heard of Doto. Doto is one of our favorite Kevin and Bean listeners, but not in a good way. Not the way we love, say, Dewan, who is the best human on earth. Dewan is fascinating because he's so honked up. And we
you
can't
mean
wait
Doto.
To see Doto, excuse me.
Yes.
Doto is so fascinating because he wrong in the head, and he's the international man of mystery, and sometimes we don't hear from him for months at a time, and then sometimes we hear from him 30 times in a day, which is one of the very curious things about him. Mike, before you read the email, you went to Doto's house and uncovered that he's even creepier and more honked up than we ever imagined from the emails, right?
I was going to mention that. If you go to the video section of kevinandbean.com, there is the Doto Cribs, where the video team and I went down there, and And we just started to worry about him even more. I thought we were going to get to know him a little better, and maybe he wouldn't be quite as creepy as we thought.
Yeah.
Get to
yeah, like maybe we would have jumped to some bad conclusions based on the short emails that he sends. But once you get to know him, you find out he's just a regular guy.
Maybe there's just communication problems, you know, the English barrier.
I mean, we're very confused about everything that Doto does. Supposedly he travels all over the world, we think, with his dad, and he says he teaches English, but we don't know if that's really true.
And sometimes he says he's in college, and sometimes he says he's teaching college, and he seems to have a life here, but it seems like most of the time he's in random Asian countries. It's not like he has one place, like a second home that he goes to in Japan or something. Sometimes he's in Hong Kong, sometimes he's in Bali, sometimes he's in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy to keep up with this dude. That's why we call him the International Man of Mystery.
That's another thing. He's not going to Tokyo and Seoul and major cities a lot. Whenever we talk to Doto, he's coming back from a remote part of Singapore or Bali or these really Indonesia, these really
or
crazy
so he
places.
Says.
Yes, correct.
Who knows?
You should check that video out if you get a chance. This new email we got, Lisa, it's been a layoff from Doto. Mm-hmm. And this one's amazing. And if you'd like, Bean, I could read that right now.
Yes, and I insist that you read it as if Doto were saying it.
Okay.
And by the way, before Mike reads the email from Doto, please understand that we've had conversations dozens of times behind the scenes. And I'd be curious on your input, by the way, if you're listening right now, 1-800-520-1067. At what point do we have a responsibility to do more than laugh? Does there come a point when Doto sends one of these emails where we are obligated as good citizens to involve the authorities?
We debate this all the time.
Because I'm telling you what, when Doto goes on that killing spree, when he's the new Virginia Tech guy, because you know how the Asians are, when that happens, they're going to come to us and go, Kevin and Bean, why didn't you do something? And we're going to say, we didn't know. We didn't realize we should have. So I don't know if this is the point at which we need to now start turning over the emails to the authorities.
This is serious stuff, huh?
Well, I mean, it's just every time Doto writes a note about how, you know, he's committed some heinous or aggressive act, then we call him on it, and he says, oh, no, I was just kidding, Kevin and Bean.
Right.
So
how
do you know what's joking around, having a good time.
Right.
I mean, my fear is at some point we're actually going to have to make a call to the FBI.
The FBI!
Come on.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, here we go. Bean, something you might want to hear, someone exploited me due to fact disabled eye? I follow the person to his destination, and I spray him with mace. Now he blind temporarily.
What?
Hold on. This was in Hong Kong. I had it all planned out. Before I spray him, I purchased mace through gun store. In California, what would happen from what I mentioned above,
Oh, my God.
Now, okay, here's the other thing about Doe to the Toe is that he is convinced, because he's got some problems.
Yes.
He had the honked up eye, got that fixed, but he has a little bit of a learning disability. But I mean, he's certainly capable of taking care of himself. You can have a conversation with him. The guy can drive, the whole deal, right?
I saw his college degree. I saw it with my own eyes. Now, I don't think he has what it takes to forge that, you know? So he does have what, like being said, he can function in society.
Right from wrong.
Right.
He does. But he is convinced that he is constantly discriminated against because of a learning disability. I mean, he sees – you know, he's like a guy who thinks if he doesn't get a job, it's because he's black. You know what I mean? When he might not have been as qualified as somebody else who did get a job. Not everything is racist in that case. Not everything is a discrimination against Doto because he's quote-unquote learning disabled. Although he believes that he is discriminated against everywhere he goes. If a girl won't go out with him, he thinks she's discriminated against and he has the right to sue her because he's learning disabled, right?
Right.
So when he writes something like this, I don't know if that's a rich fantasy that he's got going on in his head or if somebody really did cross him the wrong way and Doto really did go get a can of mace and temporarily blind the dude.
It is hard to picture Doto actually having the presence of mind to spray someone and get away, though. You know, he's not a calm, collected man. He's kind of a panic all the time.
Right.
Right.
It's hard for me to actually picture him having a plan and executing it.
Now, I've looked into the eyes of Doto when he's turned, when he's gone angry.
Yeah.
And I could see it.
Really?
Yeah.
See the problem. You think he's got the dark streak?
Yes. The thing is that I don't see Doto having the restraint to just use mace. Like, I believe that he would hit someone in the head with a bat till they were dead more than I would believe he would mace them and run away.
Well, and here's the thing with Doto is that he asks us a lot, if he did do something like Mike's just suggestion, wouldn't he get off because he's learning disabled?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got his built-in defense going.
That's what he thinks.
His legal defense is already in operation before the crime is committed. I don't know. I mean, it's so hard to know what to believe from this guy because he backtracks on every single thing we call him on.
Yeah.
Every single time we say, well, did that really happen? He's like, no, it's just me joking around. I mean, is it a rich fantasy life or do we have something to be concerned
about?
Well,
let's not forget the last email we got from Doto previous to this one was where he promised to kill Lightning and his family within 2 years.
That's true.
Because he's just not ambitious enough to do it sooner.
Ralph Garman, a few minutes ago when we were scrambling to try to find Craig Ferguson, I don't know why we didn't think to just have get you on the phone. You could
That's
have been
right. I'm Craig Ferguson. I'm going to late night talk show. Everyone comes on and talks to me. Talk.
See? Nobody would have been any wiser. We should have totally done
right.
it. Anyway, we are trying to reschedule Mr. Ferguson. We may have him for you next hour. We do have Dr. Drew in just a few minutes talking about some BS Twitter conference. I don't know how the good doctor has time to deal with something like that, but we'll find out what's up with him. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Tuesday. What's going on?
It's official. Couldn't be happier. Couldn't be more pleased. Heather Locklear is returning to Melrose
yeah!
Place.
How about that?
Woo! Heather will be reprising her role as Amanda Woodward on the new CW version of the show. Apparently, she will make her debut appearance on November the 17th. I don't know if you guys are watching the new Melrose or not.
I watched not. 1.5 episodes and said, not for me.
Oh,
but
you are
if
so
Heather
wrong.
Comes on board, then I might watch
you
again.
You are so wrong. It's been so deliciously horrible. It's just been wonderful. It's just
Heather
been soaporific.
Legitimizes it for a lot of people. Now it's a real show, right?
Oh. So Josie Bassett and Thomas Calabro and Laura Layton and Daphne Zuniga don't do enough for you when it comes to
nope.
MP?
They're not Heather.
I agree.
Oh, that was wrong.
Okay.
There we go. I'm playing Bean
off.
You're
playing me off. Yeah. Come on.
Keyboard Cat is playing Bean right off. We're so
I wonder
wrong.
What they, I wonder how much they had to pony up to get her to go back and do that show again.
All?
Yeah.
All the money they have.
You know, does it ring a bell being she's Chinese but born in Japan?
That's,
she's
you're
not
confused.
Neither. She's not yeah. born in Japan or
she's
Chinese.
American.
Kate Gosselin has confirmed that she wants her own talk show.
Yeah.
And I won $1 million. Doesn't mean it's going
to
happen.
She's got a better chance to get a talk show than you get $1 million.
Sadly.
She has been offered a deal. Apparently, she taped a pilot over the weekend, Lisa.
Whore.
Who's going to take care of those kids?
Whatever with the kids. Fend for themselves.
Talk shows don't take much time, right?
No.
In a day?
Apparently, she hosted 3 episodes of The View last week.
Mm-hmm.
And did so well that they gave her her own pilot.
Wow.
Look, I hate her as much as anybody else, but I did see her on The View, and she is articulate and can follow a conversation and does have a point of view. I mean, she's a hell of a lot better already than a Wendy Williams or somebody like that.
I've been given the gift of gab, so why not use it? She said. Oh, shut up, I said. This is an interesting story coming from TMZ today. Lindsay Lohan may have a previous relationship with that 18-year-old dude, Nick Prugo, that knocked off her house.
Nice.
Oh, really?
What do you need him for?
I am not surprised to figure out that this guy has some sort of in with her somehow, some way. Apparently, several people who worked on her movie Labor Pains, mm-hmm. which was shot last year,
uh-huh.
and... according to a lot of sources, would not stick to the film because it was so bad.
Right.
Apparently, they saw her hanging out with this Nick Prugo dude on the set. Look, the guy's got a record. He's 18 years old. He's already got a record for selling blow.
Yeah.
Wonder what their connection is, Lindsay and Nick.
I can't imagine what they would have in common that they could...
Apparently, these people say they were hanging out together. A person who worked on the set said they saw them together at least 10 times. And then he burglarizes her home, so it wouldn't be the first time that a drug relationship has turned into burglary.
Yeah.
So we'll be following that story closely. And good news for TV fans, Glee has been picked up for another 11 episodes.
Absolutely.
I don't know
should.
What the hell you guys are talking about.
Fox has been so happy with the response to Glee that they've ordered another... Well, I guess it's 9 episodes. They had originally ordered 13. They have expanded that first season order to 22 episodes.
So awesome.
Okay. We'll be getting more Glee.
It's a great show.
It really
I've
is.
I've really been enjoying it. Talk about celebrity birthdays, shall we?
Do it.
Joan Jett of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
How does she feel about rock and roll, Ralph?
She loves rock and roll.
Wow.
Yeah, put another dime in the jukebox, baby.
Sure.
She's 51 years old today. Scott Baio.
Yeah.
He, of course, was Chachi on Happy Days, and now you can see him. I can't think anywhere.
I don't know what his reality show's over. That's over. He got married, right? She got pregnant.
He's a dad now.
Yeah. Always a wonder. This is a tangential subject, but I see the Scott Baios of the world. And I say, this dude had a sitcom on in the 70s, right? And he's worked sporadically throughout, but really the last steady job he had was on Happy Days.
Mm-hmm.
How does he own a home? How does he pay his mortgage? How does he pay his bills? How does he pay for child care? How does he live a life?
I'm just thinking, just throwing this out there. Maybe he has some ownership in Charles in Charge. Because that was syndicated up the yin-yang.
Yeah, maybe he was an executive producer or something on that. Maybe he is getting some syndication money from
that.
But if he was just an actor.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get these syndication deals, as juicy as they are initially, they decrease with each repeat.
Mm-hmm.
So every time they show an episode, you get paid a certain amount, but then it gets cut into by percentage and cut into until eventually you're just getting pennies on the dollar for what you originally made for an episode. Mm-hmm. So something that was shot 30 years ago, you're not going to be making a living off of that.
Yeah, I wonder a lot about those people who seem to go years in between jobs. How do they pay the bills? Unless they, you know, were smart enough, and most of us aren't, to have invested that money wisely at the time.
What's up with the Baio bankroll? What's up with the Baio bankroll?
Yes, that's what we're asking, Psycho Mike. Thank you for putting a clever little name onto it. Bonnie Hunt is 45 years old today. Jonathan Taylor Thomas from Home Improvement is 28 years old today. Dave Hernandez of The Shins turns 39. And Tommy Lasorda, skipper for the legendary Los Angeles Dodgers for many years. He is 82 years old.
Don't forget, say hello to Jane Biondi.
Hello, Jane Biondi. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Dr. Drew Pinsky is an addiction specialist.
Dr. Drew in the Hizzy.
The host of Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew on VH1.
Jay Bangalanga, put a J hat on your Gabozak.
And author of a terrific book, The Mirror Effect, How Celebrity Narcissism is Seducing America.
Dr. Drizzle in the Hizzle for Schnizzle.
And it can be heard on the nationally syndicated radio show, Love Line.
Nel tuaglio credo in eserato iri.
Gonna bust my flow all up on your grill.
Music, cues, I, Susan, muse, I, cues, on, twos, I, cues, at. You, zoo, my kisser. Who, zizzer, I, zee.
Please welcome Dr. Drew Pinsky, everybody.
Doctor, we gotta check your medication, dude.
Why is that, my friend?
Well, I don't know if you just heard the intro that we played. If you rap it and sing an opera, the whole deal.
I don't know who did that, but I need to talk to that young man.
Well, it's all you, man. It's not on us.
Our friend, DJ Omar Khan.
I had nothing to do with that.
Stink on that.
That was all Omar. I had nothing to do with it.
So, is there a doctor for Dr. Drew? Do you have a guy that you go to?
Occasionally, yeah. Is that we're here to talk about this morning?
No. I was just curious.
Sorry. What would you like to talk about? You want to set the tone of the conversation?
Well, I mean, after that intro, I got to get my hands on that thing and burn it. who did that? Seriously,
that was Omar. That was DJ Omar Khan.
Well done, my friend.
He said begrudgingly.
Dr. Drew is making an appearance that we're going to tell you about the Twitter conference we're going to get to in a second. But, Drew, every time we have you on, we'd like to catch up with something that's going on the news, too. And there was a fascinating story that Ralph reported earlier today that we don't know if it can be true or not. We need a medical perspective. Ralph, what do you got?
We're talking about David Hasselhoff, Drew.
Yeah.
Now, apparently Sunday, his 17-year-old daughter called his ex-wife saying, "Daddy's drunk again. I'm worried that he's gonna get alcohol poisoning." And they showed up, and the paramedics took him to the hospital. And now David Hasselhoff is claiming it was a combination of his ad abuse that he takes, because he's an alcoholic,
right?
And the antivert, a drug apparently which is for an ear infection that he has.
Yeah, antivert is a nothing. Antivert is an antihistamine, so there's no way antivert did anything. Let's just be clear about that.
So the combination of those two drugs wouldn't cause him to lose his equilibrium and simulate drunkenness?
No. But ant abuse and a little bit of alcohol could have made him violently ill. And so even if it were alcohol from, you know, mouthwash or something like that, he can get really sick. So it's interesting that he'd been taking antabuse, and you know that's the reason that we use that medication is because as a deterrent, because people get really actually life-threatening illness if they drink so much as an ounce of alcohol.
Huh.
So is that pretty effective as a treatment against the alcoholism?
No, it isn't, because guess what my patients do when they want to drink?
They don't take the pill.
Oh, Lisa, very well done.
Duh. I wonder if this is something to do with his contract for being on, what's the show, America's Got Talent or something? Like if they had that in there so that he wouldn't show up drunk.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. That probably is the case. But an abuse, you know, it's not a recovery. It's just a sort of temporizing measure. It's a measure of structure when people need to sort of have that in their life. But, you know, of course, when they want to drink, they stop taking the antabuse. They're actually implantable antabuses now that can have, you know, sort of continuous blood levels for many, many months. But, again, I've had people chew that stuff out of their arm. I mean, addicts want to use, will use. That's where it goes.
Dr. Drew Pinsky is on the line, of course. He's, well, you can see him on every television show in the whole world, on every network around the world. But somehow he still manages to make time to appear at a Twitter conference that is going on in Los Angeles at the Skirball Cultural Center today and tomorrow. 2 days for a Twitter conference, Dr. Drew? How do you have time for that?
I don't do the full 2 days. I'm just doing a panel this afternoon on Twitter and celebrities. We got a bunch of guys on the panel that have sort of million-plus presence on Twitter, like Tony Hawk and Greg Grunberg and Tyrese, and I'm going to moderate a panel and just talk about what this thing is and, you know, whether it's good, is it bad, what the heck is this thing we're doing here?
Is it adding to the narcissism of celebritydom, Dr. Jim?
I wrote a book about that.
What?
That.
What? What a coincidence.
Isn't that something? I felt it was not Twitter so much, but that this magic portal that we have on our desk is certainly contributing to young people's acting out of narcissistic tendencies. Here's my thing about Twitter. I don't really like it. Yeah. And yet once I got involved with it, I felt responsible to it. It's sort of like part of my job every day now. So yes, it has potential to be enhancing narcissistic behaviors, but it doesn't have to be.
You have 1.5 million followers on Twitter, though. What do you think they're looking for from Dr. Drew on the Twitter?
That's why I'm hoping the panel helps me. I have no effing idea. Do you know?
Gossip about celebrities and their drug problems.
Bean's lucky because he doesn't have to worry about pleasing anyone, because he just writes any inane thing that comes into his head and doesn't worry about the people who are reading it. I assume you probably consider your audience and are concerned about your content.
I'm very concerned about it, and I the only thing I can think of doing is sort of thinking of finding an inspirational quote every day and commenting on it, because I'm having fun doing that. And I also Twitter about other people's Twitters. But I don't know what people want. I mean, I'll tell you what people do want. They want to ask extremely complicated, high liability medical questions.
I want you to answer in 140 characters.
Yeah, I one of my questions to the panel is Twitter a liability? And, you know, is it worth it? And have a conversation with the audience too about, you know, what this means.
It is interesting because you mentioned, for instance, Tony Hawk. I mean, he seems to use his Twitter to promote whatever he's got going on, as a lot of celebrities do. But he seems to really love the interaction with fans, the actual hands-on, like, you know, meet me at a truck stop and win a skateboard kind of thing. Although, who knows what Tony Hawk is at a truck stop hanging out for real. But it does seem like a lot of celebrities are able to have much more contact one-on-one with fans than ever before, thanks to the immediacy of Twitter.
Right. And so Twitter becomes sort of like a little fan club where people can interact. But then I get lots of, angry Twitterers, too. Like, all you ever do is give the quotes or talk about where you're going to be. It's like, well, I don't know what to put up here. I need some advice.
Why do you still tweet?
Because there's 1.5 million people sitting there. I feel responsible to them. I really do. I feel like, oh, my goodness, now what?
Well, here's what you do. You tweet one final tweet, which is, get an effing life. And then you put it down and walk away.
If you're just going to do inspirational quotes, you're not going to have those people following you for very long, I don't think.
Lisa with the slam
on Dr.
Drew.
That's not what they're looking for. They're looking for juicy stuff from Dr.
They just want
Drew.
Some sort of contact with a celebrity, and Drew's a celebrity that feels like it makes them somebody because they follow Dr. Drew.
But content does matter to some extent.
Well, Lisa, you tell me. What should I do?
Well, I'm not saying you should do this. I'm just saying they're hoping to get little tidbits from you about, I mean, you've got
Lisa wants
you've got
new
the
photos.
Dirt on the people.
Lisa wants new Dr. Drew.
All right, so because the last thing I want to do is, like, okay, I'm driving to work right now. I mean, that to me is like, I read other people's Twitters where they sort of talk about what they're doing in the moment, and it just seems offensive.
It's the nature of the beast, though, Drew. I think Twitter, I'm not a fan. I don't do it, and I don't follow anybody, and I think it is just contributing to the inanity of American life.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you one thing it did do that I really was impressed by. When there are two things, really. I was Twittering with Dax Holt, the guy from TMZ, when the Michael Jackson thing broke.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we actually broke that story right there talking together before the news media got a hold of it. We went on fire on Twitter. It was really, in 30 minutes, the whole Twitter sphere knew about this, and that was interesting. The other thing is, during the Tehranian sort of, let's call it an uprising,
yes,
that political campaign,
mm-hmm,
it seemed that this instrument, Twitter, had very powerful political potential. People were gathering and talking about this and supporting people. So there's something potential in it. I just don't know if we can mine it.
Yeah. Hey, Dr. Drew, being here again, do you follow me on Twitter?
I shall right now.
Uh-huh. We don't recommend it.
Don't do it, Drew. Don't do it.
Maybe you'll teach me a thing or two.
No, trust me, you won't.
What's the tag? What are you searching for? Here we go.
Clyde Tombaugh.
What?
Yeah.
That's the name. That's the name on Twitter.
That
yeah, Clyde
tell
Tombaugh.
You everything you need to know.
Wait a minute. Clyde what?
Clyde Tombaugh.
Clyde Tombaugh.
Who
spell
is the
it.
Guy who discovered the rock known as Pluto, Drew?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Better mm-hmm. spell it for me.
I will. You know what? I'll tweet it for you right now. How about that,
okay,
Dr.
Drew?
Take a look at it after
for
the call.
F's sake.
All right. If you want to see Dr. Drew on the panel or you're fascinated with the Twitterverse, you can go to the Skirball Cultural Center,
you know,
today
what?
And tomorrow. Yes.
I don't think you can. I think it's all sold out. You can watch it on C-SPAN, and you can watch it on – yeah, I mean, because just Twitter is – for some reason, the press loves Twitter.
Yeah.
And it's also going to be streamed on a website. So these things are
Ustream.
Available.
Ustream is streaming it.
Yeah, I'll stream it on Twitter. No, I don't. Is it Ustream?
Yeah, it's Ustream. That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Okay. So Ustream.
All right. Ustream or C-SPAN. Dr. Drew Pinsky, always great to have you on the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks a lot for joining us today,
right,
dude.
Yes, thanks. It's up, stay up. It's been a long, long day, and you've got the Sandman at your door. But hang on, leave the TV on, and let's do it anyway.
He sings, too, Is There Nothing This American Can't Do? Craig Ferguson, of course, is the host of The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, weeknights at 12:35 on CBS. He has a new book in stores today called American on Purpose. Please welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show our friend Craig Ferguson. Hey, Craig, how are you, man?
Hi, good morning. How are you? I'm calling you from my dressing room at The View. How awesome is that?
You are going to be on The View today. How many of those girls can you kill while you're on the show?
I don't know. This is kind of like a dream I had that I'm a bit ashamed about.
It sounds to me like you're saying that as if it were in a sexy time sort of way.
Maybe. I'm not giving everything away.
Hey, Craig, your show is on after the Letterman show, and I'm sure you had huge numbers last night because Dave had the president on. I wondered if you had a chance to watch that interview.
You know, I didn't. I got into New York last night, and I fell asleep, so I missed it. Was it good?
It was really, you know how Dave is. I mean, he's a pro. He's always able to handle those situations. But, I mean, that's the great thing about your job is the kind of people, I mean, you'll never get the president on your show, but the kind of people that you get, let's be honest.
But I think we're going to get Gary Coleman.
Well, have you ever been, I mean, I'm sure Dave was a little bit nervous just because it was so, you know, so crazy even for his show. But have you ever had somebody on that was so big or you were so starstruck over that you were really kind of concerned about the interview going well?
Yeah, actually, there was one. Bishop Desmond Tutu was the one that I was really kind of, that's when you're in awe of someone who's that much of a world figure and that kind of impressive as a man. That one really freaked me out. But it turned out he was fine. He was very funny and approachable and likable, and it was good. But that's the one out of all of them that I was nervous about.
Yeah, I can totally see that because if you offend him, you offend millions of people. I mean, if you screw up an interview like that, it goes beyond TMZ. I mean, that it turns into an incident.
Yeah, I mean, and also, I mean, not just that. I mean, that, yes, there's that, but also you kind of want to afford the man some respect, I mean, given what he's done with his life. So, you know, there's a way of, you know, how do you ask, how do you kind of have a good interview? How do you be playful? How do you be respectful? But luckily, you know, he took charge in it, and it all worked out fine.
Let me tell you something about Craig Ferguson. He's one of those guys on TV that looks comfortable. He makes it look easy when he does his show, which is why yours is one of the best of the late night shows. And that's why your book was so fascinating. I got a chance to read a bunch of it last night in stores today called American on Purpose. And you kind of fell into this job. You weren't one of these people like David Letterman who grew up always wanting to be a talk show host. I mean, it was almost like the impression I got from your book is it was just another acting role for you playing the part of a talk show host.
Yeah, it's just something I fell into. I mean, I didn't just fall into this job. I fell into dumpsters. I fell into, you know, I fell into all sorts of places. Eventually, I fell into CBS. And The truth is, I don't think I am a talk show host. I'm just somebody that does that. But I never wanted to be one, and I don't even think I'm one now. It's just what I do is, you know, I follow the rules a little bit. You know, I do a monologue. I talk to some people, but you know, it's not. You know, I don't really think I am that. I don't really want to be that.
Which, by the way, is hilarious coming from a guy who has one of only, I think there's only like six of those jobs in America. You've got one of them, yet, oh well, it's just something I'm doing for now.
Well, the guys who are doing them and the guys who have done them, they do a very good job of it. And what I do is I do it my own way. So, you know, the way, this is what it looks like on me. You know, I mean, you know, it's not, I started off trying to do it, you know, very traditionally. And I sucked at it, so I kind of threw it up.
We are talking to Craig Ferguson about his new book in stores today called American on Purpose. And it's funny because there are so many different stages of your life. There's the big stand-up comedian stage of your life. There's the actor on a hit TV show with the Drew Carey Show. There's the talk show. There's the sober Craig versus the wasted Craig. You cover it all. I mean, it seems like you weren't afraid to make yourself look bad when you wrote this book, which a lot of celebrities won't do.
I think I wanted to do that. I wanted to, throw a few rocks at myself in the book, because there's nothing more boring to me than reading a book about somebody saying, I was born into a great life and everything was great, and then I did a great thing, and look at me, and woo, don't I have great abs? That kind of stuff bores me. So I wanted to just tell the truth. Yes, I did this. I blew this. I did that. It was awful. And then I did this. I pooed myself here. You know, it's no big deal. I mean, the truth is, I don't know anyone who hasn't made some mistakes, you know, and I've made plenty. So I thought I would document them.
Is there ever a time, and I know a lot of former addicts struggle with this, where you look back and you have fond memories of the depraved days and how much fun you used to have back then, and it bums you out a little bit? Or has the good sober you replaced all of those in your mind?
Oh, no, I do that. I look back and I, you know, a lot of the stuff I was ashamed of, I'm now nostalgic about, you know, because I wouldn't be able to do it anymore. But at the same time, it's gone, you know. I mean, it's kind of like I don't want to go back to that kind of, to being that dude. It would be, what was kind of like, oh, is that guy wild at the age of 23? At the age of 47, you know, it'd be like, oh, look at that sad old douche. You know what I mean? It's not. It's a shame.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna do it. Fight
yeah,
passes,
that,
you know.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, you do have some years to burn when you're in your 20s, but you're right. Once you start pushing 50, it's a little different.
You're the first person that said that to me. But it's true, I guess. Pushing 50. Oh, my Lord.
Why?
That's awful. I need to sit down.
You thought about that at all?
You kids. Get off my lawn.
You're about to get off of my lawn, and the 4 p.m. buffet dinners is where you're headed, Craig. All right, last question for you. The book is called American on Purpose, The Improbable Adventures of an Unlikely Patriot. I know it was a big deal for you, and you talked a lot about it on your TV show about becoming an American citizen. Why was it so significant you wanted to name your book after that?
Well, I mean, I thought it was appropriate to name the book that, because the book was kind of born from appearing at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, because a lot of people said to me at that point, what are you doing here? Some of them friendly, some of them not so friendly, but I asked myself the same question. What am I doing here? Why did it happen? And I suppose the book was kind of an inventory process where I went through it and, you know, and looked at why I ended up becoming an American. And really, the conclusion I draw from it is that, you know, America to me, whilst it is my nationality now, it's not my ethnicity, but it's my nationality. And it's also a philosophical aspiration. It's a dream. It's what I believe in. You know, that, you know, all men were created equal, that, you know, there is a fairness of opportunity. We're not perfect by any means, but we're given it a shot. And I want to lend my voice to that.
Well said. The book is called American on Purpose, The Improbable Adventures of an Unlikely Patriot. I read quite a bit of it last night. It is very, very entertaining. You should be real proud, Craig. And thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.
106.7 K-Rock. It is KROQ Tuesday at 7:43. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Looking forward very much to the Cleveland Show. It's a spinoff of Family Guy debuting this weekend. We'll have Mike Henry. He is the creator and voice of Cleveland joining us later on this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday. That means if you're going out to the stores today, maybe you want to look for the new Pearl Jam album. It's called Backspacer. They're selling that one at Target. I think Fringe is out on DVD, season one of Fringe, if you want to get caught up on that. That's out. And in the world of gaming, today is a big day, at least 2 years in the making. We're talking about the return of Halo. Every time there's a new game out, we need to know whether it's worth the $60 or not. We go to just one man. He is Adam Sessler. He is the host and editor-in-chief of X-Play on G4, and he joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Adam, how are you, man?
Doing all right. How are you guys?
Is this like, we're doing great, thank you. Is this a holiday for gamers? I mean, is this one of those days that you plan ahead for and take off work because you know you're going to be jumping into Halo?
I think so. It's not as serious as Halo 3, where you really did see a precipitous decline in people showing up at work. But, yeah, this is a big event, especially if you're a big Halo fan.
Has it really been 2 years since Halo 3 came out already?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've lost a little bit more hair, and it's funny. Two years ago, I spent, I think, 6 hours live on camera in New York City, having just got off a plane from Tokyo for the launch of Halo 3. It was that big a deal.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. All right, why is this one called Halo 3 ODST?
Well, ODST stands for Orbital Drop Shock Trooper, which is a regular soldier in the Halo universe. It's more like a paratrooper, but in space. So instead of going from an airplane, you're going from high up in orbit, and instead of a parachute, you're in this really dangerous-looking capsule that goes rocketing to the ground.
Okay. And from what I've seen on the TV, this doesn't look like one of those instances where they say they've blown up the graphics world. I mean, it looks pretty compatible with the last one, right?
Yes. They are using fundamentally the same technology that was in Halo 3. That's how you got another Halo game 2 years later instead of the typical 3 to 4 years that we see from a lot of games that reinvent their technology. In this, it's what we originally thought we'd call an expansion pack. So it's going to be just a little taste of something Halo-like. So it would be maybe 4 or 5 hours. And they started off working on it that way, but it turned into a much, much larger game that really can be sold on a disc all by itself.
Interesting. Now, what's this this Eternal game that you can play in the firefight in Halo? That's what has really intrigued me when I've heard about it. I mean, is this finally a game that never ends?
If you somehow have a very strong bladder, yes, it will never, ever end. it's cool. If you play Gears of War 2, there's this really neat mode called Horde Mode, where you and three of your buddies kind of try to hold your ground as wave after wave of enemies come. And so they've taken that kind of basic logic, and they put it in the Halo universe. And because I'm a little bit more skilled at Halo than I am at Gears of War, I'm definitely leaning towards this one. You have all the weapons. You really have to coordinate with your friends, and it doesn't have a cap where the game says, okay, you guys did as much as you can do, we're all done. It will go on, and the gentleman who reviewed the game, Mr. Sark on our staff, he played it for 2 hours straight.
Wow.
Yeah. And conceivably, how long will somebody out there play that game for? I mean, is it one of those games that literally somebody could play for 18 hours if they wanted to?
Well, the game would let you. I would like to meet you and find out what else you should be doing. I think usually you'll probably go maybe half an hour, 45 minutes. It's pretty hard to stay that focused for that long, but it's really quite a thrill when you're in the thick of it.
Yeah, I bet. This is the voice of Adam Sessler on the phone, by the way, who you know is the host of X-Play on G4, which airs weeknights at 8 o'clock. We're talking about the new Halo. What's new with the multiplayer maps this time around?
Well, it comes with all of the maps that you got in Halo 3, and there's three more new maps. For people who are big, big Halo fans and want to have everything, they're going to want to get this game, you know, no matter what. But the multiplayer, which has been so famous for Halo, really isn't the star of the show this time. It's really just a little bit to sort of pacify. It's really about that single-player ODST campaign and the firefight.
And is it still just Xbox 360 only?
Oh, yes, and I think it will be that way from here to eternity. This is how Microsoft got on the map back in 2001 when the Xbox launched, the original Xbox. And I don't know what it would take to wrest this game and this franchise out of their hands.
Yeah, right. And what's it cost this time around?
It is around $60. It is the cost of a retail game. Now, some people have been saying, oh, is the game really short? Is it as long as a regular Halo game? It's curious. It depends how long and how you play the game. there's a lot that you can do because it takes place in kind of an open world. And you can search for small hints and clues that help make the story a little bit more interesting. But because you're not as powerful as Master Chief from the previous three games, you sometimes want to hide from battle rather than just kind of jump in there and kill everyone you see. And there's a way to play it where it goes for 5 hours, and there's a way to play it that goes for 10 hours. So it is somewhat of a shorter game in terms of its epic scope, but it is definitely a $60 game, I think.
And it sounds like you're signing off and saying to your fans, hey, it's worth it. If you like Halo, you got to get it.
Yeah, we gave it a 5 out of 5. Now, if you don't like Halo, this will not change your mind. So,
got it.
Just because it's different doesn't mean it's that different.
You guys do a great job on X-Play, airing on G4 weeknights at 8. Adam Sessler, always great to catch up with you, man. Thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, my pleasure.
And now, a moment with Bean.
What's the rush out there, dude? You're afraid the person's going to die of meth labs, you know, something, or what? I could have asked that better.
No, it's perfect.
That was a moment with Bean.
Come on.
Yeah.
How are you going to come at me like that? K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ at 7:57. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat next hour, by the way. Green Day, also Kings of Leon, and that awesome, 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 awesome song from White Rabbits called Percussion Gun. If you have not yet heard this, you have to stick around. It's one of my favorite songs on the radio. What do you got going on, Ralph?
A lot of people talking about the new soundtrack for the Twilight sequel, New Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Which they finally announced the full lineup of today. The soundtrack will be out on October the 20th. Movie comes out on November the 20th, but here's your heads up. Tom York of Radiohead has a new song on the soundtrack called Hearing Damage. The Killers have a new song as well called A White Demon Love Song. Oh, why did Demon gotta be white?
Yeah, no kidding.
Muse has a new tune on the album, as well as Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, Death nice. Cab for Cutie, has the lead single, of course, Meet Me on the Equinox. We've been playing that here. And, yeah, looks like a great lineup for a great soundtrack. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's still a Twilight movie, but still, the music will be good, so you got that going for you.
Speaking of movies, an ambulance to take you to the hospital once you hear this. It's so good. It's unbelievable.
Okay. Early reviews are in, apparently.
Yeah.
Really?
Speaking of movies, the new Sherlock Holmes movie isn't even out yet, but Warner Brothers has already announced they're planning a sequel.
Wow.
Hollywood Reporter newspaper says that the Sherlock Holmes movie, which of course stars Robert Downey Jr. as the legendary detective, Jude Law as his sidekick, Dr. Watson, Rachel McAdams stars in the film as well, Guy Ritchie is directing the whole shindig, and Brad Pitt has signed on to play Holmes' arch-enemy, Professor Moriarty.
How about that? That sounds like a franchise, right?
Yeah, they've already talked to Pitt about reprising his role as the villain in the sequel as well. So it looks like we're going to get a bunch of Sherlock Holmes movies.
This is a nice break for Guy Ritchie, who's really done much smaller movies than it sounds like this one is.
He is on a roll. He just signed on to do the new movie Lobo, too, which is based on a comic book character that's very popular from DC Comics. He'll be helming that as well. So looks like he's moving on to bigger and broader canvases.
After he dumped leather skin, he looks like his life's really
turned. He got rid of the beef jerky wife. He's got a career again.
Now, who's going to play the Claude Akins role in Lobo now that Mr. Akins is no longer with us? I'm concerned.
Sheriff Lobo, that's a whole different thing. It's not what I'm talking about.
What is this reference, by the way?
Sheriff Lobo was a bad action comedy that was on NBC, I believe, in 1912, I think. It was the first television program ever. And it was on for 4 minutes, and only Bean remembers it. Because he loves Sheriff Claude Akins.
Well, I do love Claude Akins. You know that.
Yes, yeah, well, that's going in the file, you asshole.
Wow.
Hey,
I think Mike's off the roids.
Well,
take it from me, Claude Akins.
Thank you, Claude. Yeah. That was a piece of tape that Bean used to play back in the 40s when this show first started, and he's still got it in the vault
vinyl.
Take it from me, Claude Akins. Boy, if Kevin was here right now, he'd be screaming.
Oh.
He'd be furious. And we're out of time, so screw you. But I've got Foo Fighters news when we come back in an hour. So, you know, I wouldn't blame it if you didn't stick around, but at least come back for me. Because that's worth saying something.
Well, most people who listen to this program believe that what's between the Showbiz Beats is disposable. As long as you're with us again at, you know, 10 minutes till the hour, that's when you're happy.
Oh, come on. That's not fair, but true. Celebrity birthdays. Joan Jett,
She is 51 years old today. And I'll tell you, for a grizzled old crew-cutted lesbian, she's looking pretty good these days.
I have to agree.
Stays in shape, category.
Yeah. Yes, it's a small group she belongs yeah. to. But she is 51. Scott Baio, first Chachi and Charles in Charge. He only stars in shows with Ch in it.
That's right.
Joni loves Chachi. Remember that? 48 years old today. Bonnie Hunt is 45. Jonathan Taylor Thomas from Home Improvement is 28 years old. David Hernandez of the Shins is 39. And Tommy Lasorda,
yeah,
who, if you're a baseball fan, you probably know as the longtime legendary skipper of the Los Angeles Dodgers. He is 82 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman.
Don't forget, say hello to Jane Biondi.
Jane Biondi, that's right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We're going to debut something new here that I hope will become a regular feature. You know, Ralph, you mocked Dr. Drew last hour when we were talking about the celebrities and their tweets.
Yeah.
As being worthless, and people only follow them because they feel like it's some connection with the celebrities. But what you're missing, what you don't get because you're not on Twitter, is that celebrities have important things to say.
Nope.
Yes.
No.
Celebrities contribute valuable information to the world.
They have less interesting things to say than regular people.
Well, I'm about to prove you wrong, ladies and gentlemen, as we debut our new feature called Bad Celebrity Tweets.
It's time for
Bad Celebrity Tweets.
Yeah, that's right.
Bad Celebrity Tweets.
Let's see what kind of bullshit they're tweeting about.
Tweeting about.
Wow, now I'm on board.
When did tweets become two syllables?
These are actual celebrity tweets, and we have compiled a bunch of them for you because, all the celebrities are on Twitter these days. And we thought, you know, if you're not following, for instance, shall we say Heidi Pratt of Spencer and Heidi fame, you don't know the gold that's being generated from her BlackBerry. So producer Alex is here to tell us what we've been missing by not following Heidi.
So far, 23 is the best year of my life! !! There's like 800 exclamation points. I love my puppy Dolly, and of course my husband Spencer. Spencer is laughing at me for Googling puppy training tips. Guess he doesn't realize I'm a serious mommy. This is where I vomit. Eating a feast! French toast, egg tacos, breakfast sandwich, and more. Thank you, God, for another day of life. So you can eat an egg taco? What? Eating puffs, cookies, and almond joys. Yummy! I'm really craving Taco Bell.
Come on.
Here's what I'm really...
This is what people tweet about, what they want to eat.
Here's what I've learned from Heidi. She loves three things in this order. God, food, and then Spencer. Don't forget her dog. Horrible. And then Spencer.
That's true. Dolly and then Spencer. My bad.
Exactly. See, Ralph, you've been missing out by not following Heidi.
Yeah, I feel bad.
Egg tacos are awesome.
One of the kings of Twitter, of course, is Diddy.
Yeah!
He has a million and something followers, maybe close to 2 million by now. And let's find out from Psycho Mike what kind of stuff Diddy followers enjoy.
I'm going to be naked. Y'all don't have to. It's going to be crazy.
All right.
And y'all invited pre-fight pool party, 11 a.m. MGM. Do it. Shout out to all my Jewish brothers and sisters. Ciroc, straight, no chaser. That's what I'm doing. Feeling aight. Let's go. Pete Twitty, Friday night roll call. What's your name? Where you from? What you doing? Talk to me. I'll send the private jet.
Wow, you got that.
Wow.
Paula Abdul famously resigned from American Idol on Twitter. That's how significant the service is in her life. And what happens if I'm following Paula?
You get these gems. What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us.
She's deep.
Inaction breeds doubt and fear. Action breeds confidence and courage. If you want to conquer fear, don't sit home and think about it. Go out and get busy.
Why am I taking inspirational advice from Paula Abdul?
It's chicken soup from the inebriated.
Oh my God! 3 days left till Divas and the stage isn't even finished. What's a girl got to do to be able to rehearse on a stage?
Oh my God!
See, that's what you get from Paula Abdul.
Glad
come
we
on,
followed Paula.
I follow the great Larry King, who famously has admitted, by the way, that he doesn't do the actual tweeting himself. He has people for that, so he actually just dictates. There's some poor guy whose job it is to follow Larry around, whether he's at CNN or the Dodgers game, and type in Larry's tweets. So here's a little bit of what Larry has to say. Bearing in mind, of course, that I don't do impressions.
Oh, no, you are the voice master general.
The world is unfair to left-handed people.
Regis is reading Larry King's tweets.
The space shuttle landed, but did the luggage make it?
Oh my God!
Come on,
boo.
Do people obey when someone says "stay tuned"? I threw a boomerang, and it has yet to come back. At what point do I give up hope? If you order a bowl of soup and there's a fly in it, well, just remember, the fly is not having a great day either.
Oh.
And finally, and happy birthday to Nick Jonas.
Just inexplicably says Larry King. I don't know how I've not been following people on Twitter all this time.
You're missing. This is what we're saying.
Yeah, it's opened my eyes.
Because Paris... totally.
Oh, what's Paris Hilton talking
Paris
about?
Paris has a theme that I think you're really going to appreciate. I am so jet lagged. Hanging out with my puppies and kitties, so jet lagged and tired. So good to be home. So tired.
Okay, we get it. You're
going
tired.
Going to bed. Sweet dreams, everyone. XOXO Paris. I had a bad dream and woke up. How was everyone's day? Simply Star, good idea. I'll try that and Counting Sheep. XOXOP. Going to try and go back to sleep. I have a very busy day tomorrow. Love you, my Twitter friends. Tweet dreams. Love Paris. XOXO.
What's Paris doing that's making her so tired all the
Finally
time?
Finally finished. I'm so tired. Nap time. Happy face.
She on propofol?
Maybe she should be put to sleep.
Maybe. She should be put down.
It goes on from there. Turns out she's tired.
She's tired all the time.
To Twitter.
And finally, we were able to get a couple of the great Sean Connery. Apparently, Sean Connery is now treating.
Now, there's a guy. That's a guy we all have a lot of respect for. And I'm, in fact, fascinated to see what Mr. Connery is tweeting about.
Does anyone know how to get juice off a blackberry? Because that's where I keep my blackberry, in my
Wow.
Wow.
I'm currently typing this message with my
Jeez.
And finally,
for my wife's birthday, I gave her a of right in the She said it was the nicest gift she's ever gotten. The lying
Wow.
See, Ralph, admit you were wrong. Celebrity tweets do have that.
I'm following Connery, that's for sure.
Hey! Not appropriate.
Sorry.
No.
That is Green Day on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It is 8:23. By the way, speaking of Green Day, we caught up with them when we were in New York City last week. Went to backstage at the Radio City Music Hall and talked to the boys about their play, their American Idiot stage production, their musical that opens this week, I think they told us, in Oakland. And is right now only scheduled to go through November, but they said the thing is selling real well. There's a good chance they may extend it. So if you're a huge Green Day fan and you want to see the musical that they wrote, you might want to head on up to Oakland and check it out. All right. It's Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, I know you're all abuzz because your house came back last night. This is, of course, this is the time of year that TV fans love so much because so many of the new shows are returning. And I'm very excited to welcome our next guest to the program because I'm a huge fan of his in Entertainment Weekly magazine and on the website. And he is Michael Osiello, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Great.
Great to talk to you. I get the impression that you are a guy who doesn't just do it because it's a job. You do it because you are obsessed with and love television more than anything on earth.
You would be correct, sir. This is definitely true. It's sometimes the lines blur a little bit. It's like sometimes when the television shows suck, then it becomes work. But when it's good TV and it's TV you enjoy, then it's like, God, I'm getting paid to watch TV.
Michael, because you're with EW, do you get all the screeners? You get to see everything ahead of time? So you've seen most of these shows?
Most of them. I mean, there are exceptions, like Lost sometimes. We don't get in advance.
Right.
Stuff where they're really trying to keep things a secret. But at least this time of year, a lot of the networks are at least sending out the season premieres or the first couple episodes of the shows.
Well, I got a lot of questions about a lot of these shows. I wonder if I can answer some questions and see what your take is on them, okay?
Okay, yep.
How about tonight's The Good Wife with Julianna Margulies? I love her. She's one of my favorite actresses. How's the show?
The show's great.
Good.
Concept-wise, I didn't think I was going to be too into it. Another procedural, legal show, whatever. Mm-hmm. This has an interesting twist. She's sort of the scorned political wife, which is something we've been seeing a lot of lately in the news.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of goes back, after being the scorned wife, she decides to go back to the law profession, which is where she kind of got her start. But she's older now, so she's, you know, surrounded by young people, and she's kind of a fish out of water a little bit. But it's really a well-written show. Juliana Margulies, I think it's her best role since Nurse Hathaway on ER.
And by the way, it's great that you bring that up, because here's an example of a show that might have been okay in some hands, but you get the caliber of acting that they seem to have lined up for this, and I think it really does elevate the material because they are so good.
Definitely. This show was all about casting. Casting was key, and landing Juliana was just gold.
How about Cougar Town, which debuts Wednesday night, the new sitcom by Courtney Cox from Friends fame, of course.
Yeah, I liked Cougar Town. You know, behind the scenes, Bill Lawrence, who did Scrubs, he's the producer, the writer, the creator of Cougar Town, and that all automatically elevates it to something, you know, above your normal comedy fare.
Right.
I love Scrubs, huge fan of Scrubs, and it sort of has the same kind of sensibility as that. But also it's got Courtney playing, you know, sort of more the role that we like her playing, which is sort of the, you know, uptight, single female, sort of very similar to sort of Monica on Friends, and mm-hmm. It's nice to see her back in that role.
Now, Michael, were you with us that Dirt was a swing and a miss? I mean, I understand what they were trying to do with that show, but I found it unwatchable. What did you think of Courtney's last show?
Dirt, I thought it was terrible.
I did too.
Okay,
yeah,
all right. I just want to get your sensibility. That's all.
I thought it was awful. I thought that was the kind of show where they could have had a lot of fun with that business. I felt like they took themselves way too seriously. And I just found the whole thing really just a chore to get through.
Now, before you mentioned Cougar Town, which airs at 9:30 on ABC tomorrow night. There's another show opposite that called Modern Family that I want to ask you about. But before I do, because so many of these new shows debut up against each other, are you finding the networks really trying to reach out and either do multiple airings of the shows so people have a chance to catch on? Or are they doing more good work with putting them online so people can see them if they want? Because it's impossible to watch them all in real time.
Yeah, and the networks are aware of that, and it really is all about online. You know, if it's not on Hulu, then it's going to be probably on the network's individual sites.
Right.
There are so many ways now you can see a show if you miss it the first time around. iTunes is another example. So networks are very well aware that people are not watching things live like they used to.
Well, that's good. Let's talk about this Modern Family, because this is one that it seems like there's been a buzz on it for months leading up to its premiere tomorrow night.
Yeah, my favorite show, new show of the fall by far.
Really?
One of the funniest comedies, one of the funniest comedy pilots I've seen in a long time.
Wow, that's great.
It basically focuses on three very unique, different couples that all are related.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of that mockumentary feel, too, similar to The Office. Which I think serves this show well, because you get the little confessional moments where the couples are talking about each other and everything. But it's just the writing is so crisp. It's so smart. The acting is great. This, to me, is the show of the fall.
And that's the lead-in for Cougar Town. That's on just before Cougar Town on ABC. So.
Yep.
That's the return of Ed O'Neill, too, for Married with Children, who's a guy who's always been a great actor, shows up in movies from time to time, but doesn't seem like he works that much, probably because he doesn't have to.
Right, I'm sure he's, you know, still raking in the millions from the Married with Children syndication, but he is great in this role. It's a very different kind of low-key role for him, and it's great to have him back on TV.
He was great on HBO's John in Cincinnati, a complex, hard-to-watch show sometimes, but his performance I always thought was terrific on that.
Yeah, he was good, but that show, again, like Dirt, in my opinion, took itself way too seriously.
Now, can we talk about Mercy? Because I've been watching the commercials for this, and it looks like it just blows.
Yeah, the commercials are very similar to the actual show. They both suck.
I mean, it looks like it's got every cliche about every hospital drama ever just jammed into this show. If I see that woman say one more time, "You're a doctor, damn it! You're supposed to care and save lives."
I know it's painful, you know. And also, now that we've seen, you know, a show about nurses, in particular, Nurse Jackie. I was going to say Nurse Betty. Nurse Jackie. I feel like that kind of ruined all nurse shows moving forward, because it's Nurse Jackie is so good.
Yeah.
It's so dark. And Mercy, I just was watching it and I was like, I can't even enjoy this after Nurse Jackie, because it's such a pale imitation.
Right.
Now, I don't have high hopes for Eastwick, but I have to ask.
You know, Eastwick surprised me. I didn't think I was going to like that at all, too, but it kind of was, you know, very enchanting and very easy to digest and fun and eye candy. And, you know, I like the people who are working on the show behind the scenes, so I feel like there's potential there.
So maybe give it a chance.
I don't know if it's a show that I'm going to rush to the TV to watch every week, but it surprised me that it wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
Easily digestible is something I look for in television, by the way.
This is the voice of Michael Osiello, by the way. He is a tremendous writer for Entertainment Weekly. I follow his blog. I follow his tweets. I even watched some of your red carpet coverage from the Emmys the other night, Michael, and you did a great job with that. I want to ask you something that the vibe I got from the Emmys is, particularly for broadcast television, is they realize that they're in a crisis. The quality tag has gone to cable. Do you see any kind of improvement in that area? Is there anything on this fall schedule that you look at and go, wow, that's a show that's surprising it's so good it's on network television? Or are they continuing just to give it away?
Well, you know, Modern Family is a show that, you know, seems like it's so good it should be on cable almost, like, but it's very much in the line of classic broadcast comedy. So I do think that the broadcast networks are a little bit, you know, not a little bit, they're a lot afraid. I think the Emmys just call attention to the fact that there's so much more creative freedom on the cable networks. That's really where all of the quality producers and writers are gravitating towards. So they're going to have to, you know, it is a crisis mode, you know, and I wouldn't be surprised next year or in 2 years that the Emmys are going to be airing on a cable network, just because it's got to be frustrating.
Would a show like Mad Men have ever even been greenlit on one of the big four?
No. I mean, HBO even passed on it.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't even a show that some people thought was right for cable, let alone broadcast. So, no, never in a million years.
And it was so interesting to hear Mr. Weiner, when he gave his acceptance speech when they won the Best Drama Emmy the other night, to mention that he has complete creative control. And I guess there are fewer and fewer of those opportunities where a show can be run by a single vision. It seems like there's so many cooks in most kitchens of television.
Oh, especially in network television, because, you know, you've got the studio giving you notes, you've got the network giving you notes, and it's really difficult to have a consistent vision, I'm sure, with all, you know, as you say, all the cooks in the kitchen.
Is there any trend, Michael, do you see that because of this, that the networks are going to get more balls and start making some more bold choices rather than just replicating, you know, three or four versions of CSI and three or four versions of NCIS and just try to come up with some fresh programming ideas?
Well, I think we are seeing that, but what happens is a lot of times they don't succeed for whatever reason. I mean, Pushing Daisies is a perfect example of a show that was unlike anything we had ever seen before, but it failed. You know, creatively it was fantastic, but people weren't watching it. I think Glee is an example of the networks thinking outside the box in terms of television. And, you know, I think we are going to see more of that risk taking, but at the same time, look at what happened over at CBS. You know, they took risks with, you know, Swingtown and Harper's Island, and all of those failed. So now they're going back to sort of the tried and true procedurals.
Right.
Yeah, it is tough to bust on them when they have a baseline of how many viewers they have to have in order to make the show profitable. I mean, it's hard to fault a business for not putting something on that's not successful for them, I guess. I mean, in a way, it's on us, right, Michael, if we don't watch those shows like Pushing Daisies.
That's really it. You know, it's like you scream and yell at the networks all you want, but at the end of the day, if people aren't watching the show, it is a business. They're in the business to make money.
Well, I'm sorry. I got one last question, Michael, before you go. Flash Forward is getting a lot of buzz as sort of this season's Lost. It's the show that's got a lot of angles to it, a lot of intrigue. What are your perceptions?
Well, I saw the first episode and I'm hooked. You know,
all right.
The mystery, there's a mystery to it, similar to sort of Lost, in that it's going to be sort of mythological and deep, and it's going to, you know, people are going to be wondering what the hell's going on. I do think it has the potential to inherit sort of that Lost fan base, as provided that the subsequent episodes are as strong as the pilot. But I loved the pilot. I thought it was really ambitious, really well done, and I can't wait to see the next episode.
Great.
Entertainment Weekly is the magazine. EW.com is where the blog is, and you can follow Michael Osiello on the Twitter as well. I'm so glad we had you on today, man. I really enjoyed it. Let's do it again, okay?
Definitely. Anytime.
Well, that settles it. You must be listening to K-Rock. 106.7 KROQ. It is 8:42. That, by the way, is a song by a band called The White Rabbits. It is called Percussion Gun. Percussion Gun here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Love that song.
That's
so
a
happy
great
song.
Got a chance to play
that.
That
is, that is really, really great. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to have the man who is the one of the creators of and the voice of Cleveland from The Family Guy.
I'm no school administrator.
but there's an extension program going on in my trousers.
One of the great characters on TV gets his own spinoff. It debuts on Fox this weekend. We forgot to ask our EW writer about the Cleveland show, but it does look fantastic, and he's going to be joining us next hour. Right now, though, Kevin and Bean Afro Line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO. We have a special edition of the Afro Line today, because we've got two very ambitious Kevin and Bean fans who are calling in, really leaving their mark on our phone answering machine. Now, the first guy called last week, a couple weeks ago, he is responding to DJ Omar Khan's student film, Cucamonga Heat, which I think is legendary. I think everybody knows how great Cucamonga Heat was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 100 years from now, they'll still be showing that in film classes.
Right, like a Fellini film, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cinematic tour de force. It's his school film. And this caller was so impressed that he called up and virtually recreated everything we've played on the air from that movie in one Afro call.
He shoots, he scores. Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's me, Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double-cross for me, man. Yeah, they did me some wrong in the past, so yeah. So I'm going to take care of them, dude, all right? So I'm going to go. I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man, everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man, I got to go. Later.
Okay, now that is remarkable, right?
That's perfect.
That's perfect. It's true dedication to the Kevin and Bean show. So we were ready to crown that guy King Afro of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got a guy who's calling in, and I think we have this call next, who does the entirety of the Kevin and Bean team song. Remember the team song from a couple of years ago? We did it because we were making fun of all of the sports teams that for some reason get a crazy idea in their head that they're going to make a record. Now, the most famous of those was the Super Bowl Shuffle that the 85 Chicago Bears did. But a lot of teams have done it. What did we play, Mike, back then? We had a Lakers song, I remember. What else did we have?
Oh, we had a horrible Dodgers song.
Yeah.
And there was practically every team during that
era. The Pirates.
Era.
I remember the Pirates had one. Yeah, they were real big
between
in the 70s
the late
and 80s.
And early 90s, there it seemed like almost every sports organization did it. I have the chorus of ours if you'd like to hear that real quick.
Yeah, let's hear a little bit of the Kevin and Bean theme song.
We are the team from Kevin and Bean. We're number one on the radio scene. From the beach to the valley and the city. LA 909 and the OC.
Okay, that gives you an idea of how bad our song was. And please understand, it was a parody of how bad the real team songs were that were at one time popular in their city. So this caller on the Afro Line, I mean, he's really going for the prize here. He calls up and does the entirety of the theme song.
He shoots, he scores! We are the team from Kevin and Bean. We're number one on the radio scene from the beach to the valley and city, LA 909 and the OC. I'm Ralph Garman and I'm the best. I got more talent than all the rest. Yo, master of voices and showbiz news. Ain't nobody can fill my shoes. Sexual expert, that is me. I bang every girl from here to Philly, that's the city. Oh, brotherly love, King of Mexico. From the finger is glove. That's right, ladies. I'm the king. South of the border, red, white, and green. I don't speak Spanish and grammar is lame. I just rock the no game game. You think you can handle a piece of me? Come down to the bunker in the LBC. LBC. Long Beach is the house, yeah.
All right, stop right there. Stop right there. All right.
Wow.
How, by the way, there's plenty more. How old does it sound like this kid is to you, Mike?
13?
7th grade, yeah. 12, 13, yeah.
He is unstoppable. Let's hear a little bit more.
And for lunch, $400 a month. My name is Lightning, call me Jay. Dressing judgment is the game I play. I like big trucks and real big boobies. I'm the best at making movies. You better have nice rims on your ride. Do you want me? Say you want your prize. I like lettuce and bad TV. When it comes to stay alert, I'm a real OG. E-pop runs, go see a play. I'm a Trevor, how you name? Lisa May. Trevor is the name of my game. There's a huge backup in my lane, baby. I'm the man that makes the beat. Feature Omar Khan with the Cucamonga Heat. King of the treble and the bass. I want to punch Rachel Ray and her fat whore face. Eat it, snort it, inject it too. I've done every drug that there is to do. On the ones and twos, I sleep in the night. Everything's going to be okay, all right?
Okay, that's fine. That's probably a good place to... That is, I mean, I don't know if there's a prize or a T-shirt or a crown or something, but ladies and gentlemen, I think we've met King Afro. That is... That is very impressive. Unbelievable. Leave your contributions of any kind at 323-520-AFRO. A quick break. Ralph's got the showbiz beat right after this.
Nice.
Postal Service, AFI, and Sublime all coming up in the next few minutes here on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ, 855. Ralph, your friend from the Cleveland show, Mike Henry, coming in just a few minutes.
Yeah, I know. Very talented, very funny man.
Yeah, so excited about this show. You know, usually you hate to see a character leave a show in a spinoff, but it's animated, so Cleveland will still be on The Family Guy too, right?
Yes. Cleveland has made several appearances on Family Guy this season as we've been recording, so I know he'll be around.
Oh, very
cool.
Yeah,
so it's best of both worlds. All right, time for the showbiz beat for Tuesday. What's going on?
Well, apparently there was a lot of interesting stuff going on behind the scenes at the Emmys.
Hmm.
As we were watching on the screen, backstage, all kinds of intrigue was going down. I thought while I was watching the show, you know, they had that dance number with Maxim Chermakovsky.
Dancing with the Stars people,
and
right.
Karina Smirnoff from Dancing with the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
They were out there dancing their tight little buns off, and my wife said to me, thank God she was there to give me the lowdown, that apparently these two were dating. They were pros on the show, and then they were dating and were engaged, and then they split up.
Ooh.
But then they had to dance together on the Emmys.
Ooh.
And they looked like they were, you know, perfectly in sync, by all accounts, you know.
They were in sync? Man.
Maintaining their friendships. Yada, yada, yada. But backstage, apparently they were at each other's throats.
Dude.
Yeah. According to E! Online.
That's juicy.
Yeah. Apparently, Maxim thought that Katrina was taking too long to get ready, and so they started a big screaming match backstage.
This is what I love about people, and celebrities or not, it's true of everyone. They were engaged to be married and supposedly spend the rest of their lives together a few months ago, and now they can barely pull it together long enough to be on TV at one time.
Then backstage, Chloe Sevigny. And
I know I may be alone on hitting the bell on Chloe, but I love her so much.
Yeah, you are alone.
Yeah.
She's a great
we take that
actress,
bell back?
But
we get
yeah,
that we bell take her backer? Yeah, she has got Cuisinart face. Apparently, all the parts are there, but they're all sort of mangled up. She's like a Picasso. She's got like an eye under her nose, and there's a mouth by the side of her head and stuff. And it's just, it's a bad scene.
And this should be said, not Gong, not Chewbacca,
no,
not, but just not Belle.
No.
But
no.
I mean, I saw her like in Last Days of Disco.
What? No Belle.
The jury has given their verdict.
That's okay. Right.
All right, what's going on with my girlfriend, Chloe?
She hooked up with Jason Segel of How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That
Two
is
of
such
them
an odd pairing.
Were spotted macking out around midnight at one of the post parties after the Emmys were given out.
Huh.
Wow.
So there you go. Hot new Hollywood couple. You heard it
is
here
Jason
first.
Is Jason Segel a behemoth, by the way? Is he a huge guy?
Yeah.
He's a big dude.
Real tall.
He's not as tall as you.
Yeah, I was going to say pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I know
DJ
he's been
Yeti.
In. I know he's been in the studio. I've never met him in person though. But when he came out with his co-stars from his TV show on the Emmys the other day, he just dwarfed everyone else on the stage. I just wondered if he was, you know, huge.
He's
a big man.
He's about an inch shorter than you. I would say he's probably 6'4", 6'5", yeah, somewhere in that ballpark.
And he got Chloe. How about that?
Not a win. By the way. Speaking of Emmys, this always cheeses me off. Apparently, someone has gotten a hold of Estelle Getty's old Emmy. For those of you who don't recognize the name, she played the oldest of the old Golden Girls on that
and
show.
And the hottest, too, by the way.
Hold on.
Thank you.
And the hottest.
Hold on. Quiet.
Thank you. We have to consider who wields the bell around here.
I just love Estelle Getty. You guys know she was my favorite gold girl. But what happened? So someone found her Emmy?
Well, someone didn't find it. Someone obtained it and has put it up for auction.
I'm going to buy it.
They're trying to sell it up for $15,000.
I will pay that.
No, you won't.
Yes, do
I
it.
Will.
You,
do
will,
it.
You
do
will
it.
Not.
Wow.
You
do
are
it.
The cheapest man on the planet. You're not.
Is it on eBay right now?
No, it is not. Because, I'll tell you
where
why.
Where can I find it, then?
The Academy of Television Arts and Sciences have stepped in. They got their panties in a wad, saying that you can't sell an Emmy.
You can't?
Sounds like communism.
This has always been the way with these people. It's the same with the Oscars. They tried to auction off an Oscar years ago, and they said, no, you can't do it. It belongs to us. We're lending it to the winner. But when they die, if you're going to give it back to anyone, it has to come back to us. We get to have it.
That's BS.
I think so, too.
What are they going to do with it?
Taking themselves so seriously. Like their awards are just, too good to be sold. You can't have that. So apparently they are spun out, and there is some sort of form that they make the stars sign that when they get the statue, it's a loan. And if they ever part with it, it must be given back to the Academy.
How about
so
that?
The Academy of Television Arts and Sciences says we have taken steps to take it off the market and retrieve it.
Now, I understand their reasoning. I agree with you. I think it's bogus. But they are worried that it devalues the Emmy if lots of people start selling them. All of a sudden, it makes it look like it's not something valuable enough for someone to keep.
Well, how
that's what they're
does
trying
that happen?
To avoid.
Who's selling off their Emmys?
Who knows? Maybe a lot of people would be if it were legal. If they could get away with it, maybe
no.
they would.
Well, look, if someone hits hard financial times and they can sell their Emmy,
it's theirs.
I say sell it.
They've earned it. It's their award. Let them do whatever the hell they want with it. What is this so special? It's a piece of metal that you get when you're on television.
I agree with
really?
You.
Really? A guy sold their Super Bowl rings, for God's sake.
Right, I was going to say, how many heavyweight belts have been sold off? You
right.
know?
Come on. Get over yourselves, Oscars and Emmys.
I want to buy Estelle Getty's Emmy.
No, you don't. And we've been talking about it now for weeks, but apparently this is the first time you can actually hear bits of Bob Dylan's new Christmas album.
Yes, tell me more.
The new album, Christmas in the Heart,
right at Bean's Alley,
will be released on October the 13th, but snippets of it are already up on YouTube. If you punch in Dylan Christmas, you will probably find little pieces of Dylan's new Christmas music.
I downloaded some of that last night. I have it.
Oh. Okay, let's hear some.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was surprised. That's not a traditional Christmas song.
It's a
departure. I don't know the direction he's going in. Yeah.
It's the best thing he's released in years.
No, oh, I'm sorry. I was mistaken.
Oh,
guys.
You
was...
got a different clip now.
No, I don't. But that was apparently hate beak. I got the files mixed up. Apparently, I don't have it. I thought I did.
I see. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Hey, what about Foo Fighters news you promised us, mother effer?
Oh, that's right. I did promise that, didn't I?
You said come back in an hour for Foo Fighters. I love that band. What's going on with them?
Foo Fighters have revealed the track listing of their greatest hits album, which will be released on November the 3rd. The two new songs are Wheels and Word Forward, but the rest of the album is made up of Foo's classics. If you don't have all of their hits, now you can get them on one delicious CD, Best of You. Learn to Fly, Monkey Wrench, My Hero. But here's the thing that'll be especially exciting for our listeners, because here on the station we play from time to time an acoustic version of Everlong, which really has been unavailable up until now. Apparently the acoustic Everlong, as well as the electric, will be featured on the brand new Greatest Hits CD. So for all you people who have emailed us and called us and saying, I want to play Everlong at my wedding, we want to walk down the aisle to it, and we can't find it, can you record it for me? Now you can just leave us the hell alone, because Foos are putting it on the CD for you.
Thank God. We've been begging Dave to do that for years. By the way, Wheels, the new single from Foo Fighters' Greatest Hits, will be world premiering right here tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Nope.
Yep, we got it for you tomorrow.
No.
I have a clip of it right now. I can only play you a tiny snippet of it right now.
That will not happen.
But tomorrow we have the full song.
Oh, so you have a snippet now of it for us.
I just have just a taste.
Oh, great. I can't wait to hear it.
Wow, it sounds like Bob Dylan.
Man, this is going to be a long week. Today's celebrity birthday is Jonathan Taylor Thomas from Home Improvement is 28 years old today. Dave Hernandez, bassist guitarist for The Shins.
The Shins don't sound like the type of band that would have a Dave Hernandez in it.
Doesn't it all.
You know?
Shins sound like someone named Declan O'Malley or something. You know? Shins.
I was shocked when you said it. From The Shins.
I know. He is 39 years old today. Actress and host Bonnie Hunt is... 45 years old today. I know her brother Mike. I ask for him at bars all the time. I'm looking for him. Scott Baio is 48 years old. Joan Jett of The Runaways and, of course, the Blackhearts. I always liked her. I always thought she had fun music. She's 51 years old today. An L.A. Dodgers legend. Former skipper of that particular baseball team, Tommy Lasorda, celebrates his 82nd birthday. I got to tell you something. For 82... He's in pretty good shape.
Yep.
We had him in not too long ago talking about the World Series of the World Classic Baseball World.
World Baseball Classic,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And, I mean, like, you know, look, he's not spry, but he gets around pretty good. He's pretty sharp.
When he gets on a roll, he's energetic.
He can talk.
Yeah.
I know that much. And you know what else? He loves Jane Biondi. I know that much.
Don't forget, say hello to Jane Biondi.
I will next time I see her.
And Amco.
Double A. She is 80. He is 82 years old today. Jane Biondi is not 82.
No, he's like 20.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Very, 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 very excited. Very, very, definitely came in too early with that. Very exciting AFI news coming soon to the world famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. It's 9:15. Hit it, Steve.
My name is Cleveland Brown, and I am proud to be right back in my hometown with my new family. There's old friends and new friends and even a bear. Through good times and bad times, it's true love we share. And so I found a place where everyone will know the smile across my face. This is the Cleveland Show.
Come on. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. The Cleveland Show debuts.
Greatest theme song ever.
This Sunday night at 8:30 on Fox. Cleveland, of course, is one of the neighbors of Peter Griffin on The Family Guy, and it's the spinoff. And Mike Henry, co-creator, executive producer, and the voice of Cleveland, joins us on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mike, how are you, man?
Hey, thanks for having me. And thank you for having me.
Oh, this is going to be weird. This is going to be weird.
That theme song, Mike, makes it sound like the show should be on ABC in 1977.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Walter Murphy.
He put that together?
A genius.
Who does all the music for The Family Guy stuff.
And The Cleveland Show now.
Is a genius. He sure is.
All right. A spinoff of an animated show does not happen often in the history of television, does it?
I don't think it has happened. I'm not sure.
I don't think so either.
Maybe way back in the day.
I think the Great Kazoo maybe had his own spinoff, but it failed.
Yeah.
It was a pilot. They didn't pick it up.
You know what? One note character.
Exactly. Yeah.
So how did it happen? The Family Guy's been on for what, like six seasons or something like that?
Actually, I think we're in production on our eighth season.
Eighth season. Okay.
Yeah, I started at the beginning. I had known Seth, and he brought me on to create characters in the room and write gags. And so I've been doing that for about seven seasons, and then we had this idea for the Cleveland Show, and Seth and Rich Appel and myself started knocking it out a few weekends at a time, and it came together pretty quickly, and Cleveland is, he's just very sexy. The show's not all about sex. That would be the Quagmire show. But there's more to Cleveland, and I think everybody will see that soon.
You know, Mike, I've known you for a couple of years now because I've been honored to do a few voices on Family Guy from time to time. And I never had a chance to ask you this question before, but it's been running through my mind for a couple of years. I don't know if you're familiar with former professional football coach Tony Dungy from the Indianapolis Colts.
Of course, yeah.
But I was listening to him on Sunday night on the Football Across America show on NBC, and I was listening to his voice.
Well, that is a tough rule, the way they have it now, freezing the kicker. I like the idea of taking a timeout to freeze him, but I never liked to give him a practice kick. I thought Wade should have taken it before he actually made the kick. And I also agree with you, Bob. I think they should have used some timeouts once the Giants got in field goal range. You got to use your timeouts to try to get the ball back.
It's like Cleveland talking football.
A little bit. Also Joe Morgan talking baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
He likes people to get comfortable at the plate.
How'd you come up with the voice? Where did it come from?
I met some random dude. I've told this story a few times lately. Playing basketball in Virginia. He said he's from Maryland. I was like, oh, Merlin? And he's like, Merlin. Oh, Maryland.
Yeah, Maryland.
So I just thought it was so funny the way he talked. And that was right around the time Family Guy started. And I just threw that out. And here we go.
Wow. What were you doing before you hooked up with Seth?
Well, I was I did all kinds of stuff. I moved out here in 1990. I quit my glorious advertising career back east and drove my Jetta across the country.
Yeah.
And I did stand-up. I did sketch stuff. I studied at the Groundlings. Moved back east for a while and started putting together shorts with my brother, Patrick, who was a film major at RISD, where Seth went. And that's how I met Seth, Rhode Island School of Design.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing some acting, mostly in commercials and a little bit of voiceover stuff and directing random stuff.
Okay.
And then Seth called and said, hey, you want to move to L.A. and be on this show? And I was like, I don't know, man. He's like, well, here's what it pays. I was like, all right.
Now, what was the Family Guy is, I mean, they're going to write a book about it one day because of the tortured path that it took to the juggernaut that it is today. I mean, let's remember, the show was canceled by Fox at one point. But at the beginning, was there a sense that this was going to be a rocket ride to fame and fortune, or was it just amazing to you guys that you got the thing on the air to begin with?
It was pretty amazing. It had a lot of people championing it at the beginning, and I think part of the reason it got canceled was because a lot of the people left the studio and network and there wasn't anybody fighting for it. And there were no ratings and we got bounced around the schedule and ultimately did get canceled. But, the real deal was when we came back, when the numbers spoke with DVD sales and cable ratings. And, You know, it. We did a Family Guy live event at the Montreal Comedy Festival right before we came back on the air, and it was like we were the nerd Beatles. I mean, we were
wow.
We were just mobbed. It was amazing.
You know what's funny to me? Speaking of the nerd Beatles, we were lucky enough to have Seth in on our program. Remember, Ralph? I mean, I think it was before Family Guy even premiered. It was like the week before it aired for the first time.
Yeah, I think so.
And he was such a geek. I mean, the guy could barely talk, and he was nervous, and he was looking at the floor, and he was stuttering. I mean, he seemed like he had just been dragged that week from his mom's basement. And now you look at him, and he's great looking and suave and mm-hmm. sophisticated, and he's throwing $100 bills around, and he's got a chick, he's got a chick on his arm. I mean, it's hilarious to see how he's grown up.
Yeah, I credit $100 million in Jack Daniels.
Those two things are responsible.
So is it you're not leaving the Family Guy, so it's not like you're throwing off the thing that has been so good to you. You're continuing to do both, right?
That's correct.
I still do Herbert on Family Guy.
Oh, Herbert!
And I still play the performance artist. Oh, no.
And I also play the maid now. Oh, no, I don't clean this.
I'm still doing those guys. Cleveland's come back a few times in the first season, and, I'm lucky. I'm double dipping.
All right, we need to take a quick break. Mike Henry is here, co-creator, executive producer of The Cleveland Show, and, of course, the voice of Cleveland. We want to find out where Cleveland Brown is living, what his new life is, what we can expect from the show, which debuts, by the way, this Sunday night at 8:30 on Fox. We'll take a quick break and return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. So that's over.
That is
106.7 K-Rock, KROQ, 929. A real treat for you here today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mike Henry is in our studio. If you've been loving The Family Guy for all these years like we have, then you are very deeply in love with Cleveland Brown, who, by the way, is not a Cleveland Browns fan, is he?
Oh, no. Probably the Cowboys or Lions.
It is a spinoff show, The Cleveland Show, this Sunday at 8:30 on Fox. We have many, many questions for Mike, but we actually have two voice actors from The Cleveland Show in our studio because our own Ralph Garman is here, and I understand you make an appearance in one of the early episodes this season.
I was honored that they asked me to do a little bit on the Cleveland Show early in the season. Apparently, I effed it up because I haven't been back since. But this particular episode, it's going to be on in a couple of weeks. It's a scene where I play a social worker who has come to the rescue at the behest of Cleveland to rescue this kid who lives across the street from him and put him in the hands of some foster parents. And apparently there at some point in the show there is a gun battle between the foster parents and the natural parents of this boy. And Cleveland and I are trapped behind a sofa when one of the combatants blows his brains out and blows his brains all over us.
Dear God.
While we're having
that old plot line?
While we're having a little conversation about the child. That's where this scene takes place.
We gotta get in. Look, Lester obviously cares enough about Ernie to risk his own life. Do I have brains in my hair?
No, you got it. Do I?
No, uh-uh.
All right, fine. Ernie can go home. I'll sign the release.
Great. Great.
A lot of gunplay over the kid.
Wow.
Very entertaining. It's a family show.
That's unexpected.
Cleveland felt bad because he called child services and didn't realize they'd take the kid from Lester Crinklesack, who lives across the street.
Crinklesack. Let's talk about Cleveland's new neighborhood. Now, he's leaving Quahog. Unfortunately, he and Loretta had to break up after the ugly incident with the neighbor Quagmire, right?
Yeah.
So he's a single man and looking. What takes him to Virginia?
Cleveland and Cleveland Jr. is now 14. We've aged him up since he was the hyperactive,
I'm Tiger Woods, I'm Tiger Woods.
now he's voiced by Kevin Michael Richardson, who is hilarious, and he's just a sweetheart, doughboy character, and Cleveland and Jr. set out. He's lost the house to Loretta, and he wants to go to California and pursue a dream of being a baseball scout, and on the way he stops off in Stool Bend, Virginia, to show Cleveland Jr. where his dad grew up, and at the high school, who does he run into but Donna? And we see in flashback that he and Donna were a bit of an item back in high school. Donna's voiced by Sanaa Lathan. And it turns out that she's got two kids, Roberta, a fast-lane 15-year-old, voiced by Regan Gomez.
And also Rallo, who I do the voice of, and he's five, and he's a little troublemaker with a huge afro.
Yeah. And, not to give too much away, but the end of the pilot, boom, Brady Bunch.
Oh. All right. Speaking of the Afro, speaking of Rollo, has there been any kind of pushback on you, middle-aged white guy, speaking for all these black characters on a network sitcom?
Middle-aged?
You know, I get asked pretty much every interview, but, you know, no one has really voiced anything to me that they have a problem with it. And my answer is the true answer is I know where I'm coming from, and I'm not looking to, you know, do some modern day minstrel show or anything like that. I'm just basically this nerd black dude, and right. You know, Cleveland is basically me veiled behind this voice and this drawing. You know, I've got, if stuff's going too far and I feel it's too far, and I'll reach out to my African American friends and say, you know, what do you think? And you know, I'll just use my gut. And Rich Appel and I are both very conscientious people, and we kind of have the final say on what goes. And there we go. So,
How did Cleveland become black in the first place? If he started out as Mike,
Well, you know, I based him on this dude I was playing basketball with, who was African American, and so that was just kind of the character that was drawn, and we just went from there.
Was this true, or was this just hype from the network that the Cleveland show was picked up for a second season already before the first season began to air?
Yeah, we have our 29th table read today. Wow. We've done 22 in the first season, and based on the strength of the first two animation pieces that came back from Korea, which is where our shows are drawn for $10. based on the strength of that and the table reads, they said, let's do it again, because we would have lost a lot of people.
Does that get you? Does that get frustrating as a writer to come up with a great idea that would be so funny if you could get it on the air in a week? Like the South Park guys seem to figure out a way to do it cheaply enough and fast enough they can get it on in 10 days. But
right.
you've got to write a joke that's going to hold up in 2010.
Right, right. Now, you know what? I think there's rarely that frustration. And frankly, at this point, while we're starting to hit the air, we can do that to an extent if there's something that's fresh and we can work it in with some existing animation on a show that's about to air. But I think it works well for the life of the show. Like Family Guy DVDs, I hope, are just as funny today as they were, you know, 8 years ago or whenever the first DVDs came out, because it's not topical. So
yeah, I was going to say, I think it serves the show better that you have to write more sort of genuinely funny stuff that sticks, that doesn't have to be referenced to something that happened on the news.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so interesting. I mean, show business is so fascinating. There are so many amazing stories. I mean, we had Craig Ferguson on earlier today, who I think does a terrific job on his talk show. He never wanted to be a talk show host. The whole thing's an accident for him.
Right.
And it sounds like you were telling us off the air that in your wildest dreams, you never thought you'd grow up and be this animated guy.
Right.
This, like, was it the path you ever saw your Hollywood career being on?
Right. No, I was very much into solo live action porn. And,
I've seen some of your early work, but it's excellent.
It's good. Yeah. I was doing live action. You know, I was acting in basically commercials and a lot of short films I did with my brother Patrick. You know, Seth just called. I was living in New York, and he had sold Family Guy, and he said, "You want to come out and create some characters for my show?" And I was like, okay. And so he dragged me kicking and screaming out here once I found out that it paid well.
Speaking of the guys, I don't know if you've seen it yet or not, but if you get a chance, look at Bravo. Watch the Bravo listings and see if they rerun the Inside the Actors Studio with James Lipton, with Mike and Seth and Alex and Seth Green. It's really a great episode.
Oh, they do the cast?
Yeah, you learn a lot about the behind-the-scenes of Family Guy. It was really enjoyable.
That sounds like fun.
I caught it this past weekend. It was really excellent.
We got filthy. My mom didn't like the language.
You did get a little dirty. I was surprised. You know what it is? Guys like you and Seth and Alex especially, because Alex and I worked at Acme Comedy Theater years ago. You get in front of a live audience, sometimes you just can't help yourself because you're going for that big laugh.
Oh, yeah.
That's what happened.
Yep.
Yeah, it got a little dirty. It was fun.
Well, we can't wait for the Cleveland show debuting this Sunday night at 8:30 on Fox. Mike Henry has been our guest. Any parting words from our friend Cleveland Brown before we go?
Just be good people, everyone. Just be nice to one another. Have a lot of relations with your lover or your new lover or yourself. Just have a good day.
That is excellent advice. Mike, thanks for coming in. Good luck to you, man.
Thank you.
Amberlynn on K-Rock. She is good.
Oh.
She is unbelievably
First,
talented.
A great porn star and now a great band.
I agree. It's 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ, 945. Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat. By the way, how cool was Mike Henry? Wow, that was a lot of fun.
He's great.
Mike is just, you know, like I said, I've been over the Family Guy a couple times to tape some voices. They've been very nice to invite me over there. And it is filled with great people. But Mike is like the nicest of all the nice people that are over there.
Yeah. And that's which makes sense because Cleveland is the nicest guy on the show, too.
Yeah. That's why like I think the guy you asked about anyone having a problem with a white guy voicing a black character. I don't see how you could when he always paints Cleveland in just the best possible light.
Right, exactly.
Nobody's trying to do nicer things for people than Cleveland is, not only in Family Guy, but in the new show as well. So
yeah,
I hope that
can't
won't
wait
be
an issue. All right, time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat. What the hell are you talking about?
Heather Locklear's returning to Melrose Place.
Yeah!
Woo!
Oh, so good.
I don't know if that's true.
It is true. I'm reading it right here. CW says she will return as Amanda Woodward, who was just a vixen. She was a scheming vixen. She'll be coming back to the show on November the 17th will be her first appearance, which is my birthday. What a gift.
Oh, dear God.
She was the heart and soul of that show.
She was.
Yeah.
She is 47 years old, Heather Locklear is, and she looks spectacular.
She looks amazing.
So she'll be joining the original cast members such as Josie Bassett, Thomas Calabro, Laura Layton, who's already been on the show, Daphne Zuniga, who's upcoming, and I wonder if Jack Wagner will come on. Because, they're a real-life boyfriend-girlfriend now.
Yep.
And he was on that show, too.
Where's soccer player guy?
Andrew Shue?
Yeah, where's he?
He's busy.
He's out of showbiz.
Soccer balls.
Yeah.
But he can come back for this, couldn't he?
He could.
Where's Courtney Thorne-Smith? Let's bring everybody back.
Well, she's still doing Life with Jim's.
That show can't be on still.
I don't know.
I think
don't
it is. I think it is. Jim is still on the air.
I believe it is.
Oh,
and I think
mercy.
Mike's right. I think she plays his wife.
Well, anyway, I'm very excited. Michael Jackson was the subject of a popular autobiography back in 1988 called Moonwalker. Mm-hmm. You remember this book? This was Michael telling his own story.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember it.
Yeah. And he was interviewed, he had a ghostwriter, but he was interviewed and did hours and hours and hours of tape regarding the book. Well, someone in the UK has gotten a hold of some of those tapes, and some of the interview was never published, including when he was insulting his brothers. When he called Jermaine a womanizer, called Tito boring, and insisted that Marlon and Jackie were lazy during their time together in the Jackson 5.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, apparently this is all coming out post his death because he insisted that those tapes never be released while he was alive. But now apparently someone has gotten a hold of them. We may be hearing from these soon. But I think it's a little unfair for him to call Marlon and Jackie the lazy ones during the Jackson 5 era when they weren't the ones getting kicked in the balls by Dad, Apparently yeah. Michael had some work to be done there or else he wouldn't have been hitting the nad so much by Joe.
Exactly.
That's all I guess.
And by the way, I got to back his play on Tito being lazy, too. What's Tito done for you lately? I mean, really?
Really? I haven't seen any new Tito solo albums. Have you?
Nope.
The Killers have released a concert DVD, or will release it this fall, rather. It's live at the Royal Albert Hall. If you're a Killers fan, you're going to pick this up. It's 22 songs recorded at the band shows in the London venue between July 5th and 6th shows of this past year. And so it's going to have a lot of behind-the-scenes footage and footage from performances at the Hyde Park show as well. So a lot of stuff for you to pick up if you're a Killers fan. November the 10th is the release date for that DVD.
Do you like it as much as you like men's butts because you're gay?
Wow. Whether or not you are a fan of Killers records, they are consistently one of the most impressive live acts out there. They're just unbelievable. So you might want to pick that up whether or not you enjoy their music on the album.
Little movie casting news. Sherlock Holmes, the movie starring Robert Downey Jr. as the legendary literary detective and Jude Law as his sidekick, Dr. Watson. They've got a new bad guy to battle. Well, not new. This has been Holmes' archenemy for decades. Professor Moriarty is the name of the character. And Hollywood Reporter says Brad Pitt has signed on to play him in the movie. Warner Brothers is reportedly so happy with the film, they're already planning a sequel. And Brad Pitt is already interested in reprising his role as Professor Moriarty.
Wow. So.
That could be great.
Could be great. And John Malkovich has just signed on to play the trainer of Secretariat.
Nice.
This is the movie about the legendary Triple Crown winning horse, Secretariat. 1973 is when that horse won the Triple Crown.
Oh, I wish Kevin were here today. He hates horses.
I know. And he hates people talking about famous horses. I don't even know that horse. What does it matter? I hate horses. What does it matter?
Who's Barbara?
Diane Lane will play Secretariat's owner. Dylan Walsh and Scott Glenn also star in the movie. No word yet on who will play Secretariat, but Sarah Jessica Parker apparently is on the short list to play the famed horse.
They got to give it to her. Seriously, that's the role she was born to play. Come on.
They may go with a newbie and Khloe Kardashian may have a shot, so we'll have to wait and see. But. Today, celebrity birthdays. Jonathan Taylor Thomas is 28 years old today. Dave
Hernandez. I don't know if Seabiscuit was even real.
Dave Hernandez of the Shins is 39. He's the voice master general today.
Amazing, being amazing.
Actress and TV talk show host Bonnie Hunt is 45 years old today. Her twin brother Mike Hunt also celebrating his birthday.
I just paged him.
Did you? Scott Baio's 48. Joan Jett is 51. Andrea Bocelli, legendary blind opera singer, is 51. Of all the blind opera singers, I think he's the best.
Really?
Yeah, of all of them. I think no one can hold a candle to him. Well, you can hold a candle to him. He won't see it.
He won't know it. Yeah, exactly. His skin would be all singed.
Well, he feels. He's just blind.
No, but he wouldn't tell you to stop till it's too late.
He's 51 years old. An L.A. Dodgers legend, the former skipper of the Dodgers, Tommy Lasorda, celebrates his 82nd birthday today. No, Jane,
you waiting for it yet? I didn't have it. I didn't have it this time. I'm sorry. I was moving on to something else.
Well, I can see why. We've only played it every time we've talked about him all show long.
Yeah,
I'm going to say that if you need transmission help, take it to AMCO. That's what Tommy would tell you.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike,
and Bean, for having my back there during that whole time with sort of bit. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Don't forget, say hello to Jane Biondi.
Ty Ming. Ty.
Too late.
Ty Ming.
Too late.
Ty Ming. It's a shame to have a pretty good show and then just have it fall apart in the final seconds. I mean, that is...
it's not unusual. It's not a shame, we're not closers. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
We are the Cowboys. We battle hard for 59 minutes and then lose it to
the field goal
in the final seconds.
We're the Dolphins. We go for the field goal when we should be going for the touchdown.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Let me tell you about tomorrow, kids, because I think you'll be pleased if you come on back. The Roastmaster General, Jeffrey Ross, is going to be here, who is just the best in the world at what he does, and he has written a book about it. Jeffrey Ross is a guy who's not afraid to make enemies, and that's what I love about him. So we'll be talking to him. Speaking of the Family Guy, our friend Seth Green makes a return appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow.
Great.
We are going to be talking to a porn-obsessed cat on tomorrow morning's program. Looking forward to that.
And Zach Corbett is obsessed with porn?
No, nope, different cat.
Kat Bundy.
The host of The Amazing Race, Phil Keegan, is going to be joining us in the final hour of tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show.
Cat Stevens.
And we're going to be talking to a Kevin and Bean listener who, I didn't read the full article, but listening to us, got her a speeding ticket or got her out of a speeding ticket? Which way did it go?
Got her a speeding ticket. We ruined her life.
Got her a speeding ticket. Listen to us. Yeah, we ruined her life.
Fisher Stevens?
Oh, come on!
What? Come on, Lisa! You're
come
not
on,
even playing.
Play the game.
No, Stevens? It was famous Fisher cats. Stevens. It wasn't famous. No.
But that's how it goes.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Jump from cats to
come
fish.
Come on, Fisher Stevens, everybody!
Isn't that black comedian Cat Williams?
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning, right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Don't go away because not only is Cat Corbett up next, but you can go to krock.com right now and listen to the new Pearl Jam CD in its entirety. Backspacer is streaming for free at krock.com. So that's a public service announcement. If you like PJ and you want to check out the new record, you can do that at krock.com right now. Cat's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including Dead by Sunrise, also Finger 11. We got some Muse, Silver Sun Pickups, Foo Fighters, and more straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.
DJ Scat Cat.